about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
What's up, everybody? This is gonna be rough. It's gonna be a rough day. What's up, everybody? Jesus. All right, here we go. What's up, everybody? I can't say those words together. What's up, everybody? What's up, everybody? Blah, 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 blah.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G. Ah!
You, friends, fun, drink. Hot girls, you're hot. Drink more. Expensive cars, ass. Drink, ass. Money, you in a tuxedo. Threesome, vodka. Drink, drink, drink. You, drink, Vegas, fun. You, in a tuxedo. This girl, vodka. Drink, 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 drink it all, you. More tuxedos, more cars, more. More vodka. Drink, drink, drink.
Please drink responsibly.
And now.
And, what was it like working with Brian Eno?
Brian Eno?
Yeah.
I've not worked with Brian Eno.
Really?
Yeah.
Our feature presentation.
It's gotten to the point where you could just bet on it. If he asks a question, if Muggs asks a question about a person with a name, mm-hmm. that person and that name had nothing to do with the story.
Maybe ever, too.
Ever, yeah. Maybe it doesn't even exist. I don't know. I'm not sure how deep it goes, but Muggs is a talented guy. Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is Monday. It's the 1st of February.
Speaking of Muggs, him in for Chip today. That's not an upgrade. What's happening? What's going on?
Muggs, what's going on?
Chip has the AIDS, so I am covering for her today.
This is Chip, by the way, who's one of the healthiest people in the world, who almost never calls in sick. And what happened last week, Kevin? You said to her, how have you not gotten sick? It's crazy that everyone else around you has gotten sick. Wow, it sure seems like everybody's been down. I was out, Rob was out, Dolly was out, Dave was sick. How come you're not sick? What's going on, Chip? Next thing you know... I mean, could you have cursed her any more than you did? She was fighting it. She was beating it. She was last man standing. And you have to say to her, hey, how come you're not sick? Why don't you get sick?
And you think because I said those words, that was cursing her?
Jinxed her, for sure.
I'm just saying, she seemed like she was doing great last week until you came in and put it in her head that it was her turn to get sick, and now look at her.
See, I don't think he's putting it in her head. I think it's actually germs.
See, what are the possibilities?
They catch up with you.
We had to do the same conversation with Bean about you last week.
Yeah.
Which is maybe germs, sick, normal.
Yeah.
Look, if she was going to get sick, she would have gotten sick 3 weeks ago, 2 weeks ago, a week ago. She was 100% last week until you said, hey, Chip, you're sick. Right?
I wish I had that kind of power.
Well, apparently you do. How are you feeling, Allie?
100% better. Thanks for asking, Bean.
Did you lose 80 pounds? Was it that kind of a sickness?
It was just one end.
I don't know that we need... No?
Oh,
No.
All right.
I think we're good.
I mean, whichever end it comes out of, you're still losing weight, though.
You would think.
when did you start to feel a little better?
Probably Saturday late afternoon. I was like, yeah, I could shower. And then you finally
for
do
the first
shower.
Time in 4 days.
Yes, but then you do shower and you're like, I am so weak from washing my hair.
Yeah.
Yeah, one of those, but feeling so much better. I saw Omar walking in. He's feeling better, but he let me know what happened with him.
Yeah, he always does.
Yeah, he loves to give those kind of details.
Does. Mm-hmm.
I think he keeps a very detailed log of everything he drops into that toilet. He's somewhat obsessed. Hey, I have a health story to get us started here, as a matter of fact, since we're all talking about being sick.
I pooped my pants.
This is a fascinating story out of Scottsdale, Arizona. There is a woman there named Andrea Timmerance. Maybe you've seen her on the news. She noticed something unusual in a photo of her 4-month-old baby boy, Ryder. And it looked like a tiny little spot, a little glow of some sort in the kid's left eye. She had noticed it in photographs throughout the month, and she just thought it was a camera problem. She just thought it was some sort of a weird reflection or something like that. But she got a new camera for Christmas and took more pictures of her little son and saw the same glow. So she thought, well, maybe there's something going on with
his
eye. He's
possessed by Satan.
Well, maybe that's one possibility. But she took him in for his 4-month checkup and mentioned it to the pediatrician who referred her to another doctor who identified that her son had cancer of the eye.
Yeah.
What? Cancer of the eye. This little four-month-old kid. Apparently, it is something called retinoblastoma.
Mm-hmm.
I'm probably not pronouncing that right. It's a type of eye cancer. It is very rare. Although it's the most common type of eye cancer found in children, it is only diagnosed in about 200 patients per year.
Wow.
So it's extremely uncommon, and it's only because she noticed that spot in a photograph that she took him in specifically to have that looked at. Pretty observant,
yeah,
young
no
woman. To have spotted. I mean, I think almost anybody would have seen that and thought, as she did initially, which is it just had something to do with the light in the room or the flash or something like that. So the kid is going to be fine, by the way. Apparently, there was some discussion of removing the baby's eye. But they went through all sorts of different, you know, different doctors and different treatments, and they found a specialist in New York that can do chemotherapy with a tube. And this was fascinating to me, where it's a locally administered chemotherapy. In other words, it just goes to the eye and doesn't go through the whole bloodstream to make the kid sick.
No kidding.
Wow. I think it's amazing that they can do that. So he is currently undergoing three different treatments every 4 weeks to give him 3 teaspoons of chemotherapy to treat his eye, and they expect a 99% chance of recovery from this. So it will have a happy ending. But I don't know what the takeaway is here, but just, I guess, pay attention when you're looking at these photos, right? You never know what's going to come up. But
I've heard of that story happening before, but it was somebody on Facebook saying to a mom, hey, I've noticed your kid's eye in pictures. Get that looked at. And the mom's like, whatever, weirdo on Facebook. And it turned out to be the same thing. That's just crazy.
That is crazy.
Yeah. So hopefully a happy ending and little Ryder's going to be fine and be able to see and whatnot.
But upside, baby eye patches. How cute are those?
Right?
Pretty adorable. Right?
Pretty adorable. Oh, as long as Kevin doesn't get to this kid, he's probably going to be fine.
Yeah, I don't think I have any say in him.
You sure?
I don't think so.
Okay.
I'm not
Ryder,
positive this out.
You look like you're going to go blind.
No. Nope. All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
I don't mean to become like complain, but that sounds awful.
I didn't even tell you yet. Harvey Levin from TMZ.com, like we do on Mondays. We are going to give away tickets for the Bottle Rock Festival. I don't know if you've heard about this or not, but it's basically wine and the Red Hot Chili Peppers.
So many good bands.
Florence and the Machine. Yeah, it's a great festival. We're going to give you some tickets for that. We're going to talk to you if you are prepared for earthquakes and you do things on a daily basis to be prepared for an earthquake, like our friend Allie. I was shocked to find out the number of things that she actually does. Every single day.
I'm prepared.
Just in
case. She gets the last laugh, Kevin, when you're drinking your own pee because you got nothing in the house.
Right?
Right? At that point, I'm going to go, she was right. And also, we're going to give away some Coldplay tickets. You get tickets for their show on August 20th. This is K-Rock's World Tour 2016, destination number 3. And you get qualified to see Coldplay in Rio de Janeiro. So that's pretty cool. That's coming up this morning as well. We'll take a break. We'll come back. Oh, I'm sorry.
Hey.
And Dana White.
Sorry. Nice afterthought.
My bad.
I thought you had bad news for me. I was like, uh-oh.
And Dana White.
Somebody canceled.
And Matt Sarah in studio. How about that? That's coming up as well. We'll take a break. We'll come back with the Showbiz Beat next. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 5:54.
Hey, it's that guy who talks about stuff on the radio.
Hey.
What's up, Ralph Garman?
What's up with you?
Welcome to Monday.
Right? Come on now. Monday. Let's do it.
Let's do Monday.
Let's do this thing.
Right?
Let's do Monday.
Right.
Let's do it hard.
Right.
Let's make Monday sore. Right? Who's with me?
I was.
All right.
I want Monday to limp.
Are you going to hit it with a tire iron? What do you do to make someone limp?
Good Lord.
What are you doing in that activity that makes a limp?
Kevin,
what are you doing?
Kevin, you're not happy until she regrets it?
Yeah, I understand. Well, I don't know what you would do to make someone limp.
I felt like I was adding on to the humor that you were saying.
You were detracting.
Kevin, God damn it.
You were doing the opposite of addition. You were subtraction.
It seems to be my problem more often than not.
It's no way to start. See, Monday was going so
Come
good,
on now.
And you had to do that.
Awkward.
Right? It is Monday morning, so we look at the top 10 movies at the box office. As expected, Kung Fu Panda 3 was number 1 at the box office over the weekend. Made $41 million in its debut. Got to tell you, took my little one to see it this weekend. It's a good damn movie.
Is it?
It is really entertaining for kids and for adults, and great cast. Of course, you got Jack Black reprising his role as Poe, and Dustin Hoffman, and Angelina Jolie. And this time they added J.K. Simmons as the big bad in the piece, and Bryan Cranston.
Wow.
Just great performers, and just very charming, entertaining film. So, good on you, Kung Fu Panda 3, with your $41 million. Then the bear rape movie.
That's not...
The second... $12.4 million. I was just glad I walked into the right theater with bears when I was taking my 5-year-old to the movies. Which bear movie is this? The fighting bear or the raping bear? Which one is this?
It's no rape, Prof. No rape in that one.
It certainly didn't seem consensual to me. Star Wars The Force Awakens. Failure. $10.8 million. Loser. Nobody going. Sit down. Finest Hours in its debut. It really was kind of a loser. Only $10.3 million in a brand new movie. Not too good.
Mm.
Surprise. Coast Guard movies don't make more money. I'm just kidding. All of our brothers and sisters in the Coast Guard, thank you for protecting our borders. Or whatever it is that you do. You are breaking up those icebergs. I don't know. What do they do? Anything? Anybody know?
Not sure.
They throw you one of those lifesavers, right? If you're in the water.
Sure. Do that. Yeah.
They're good people. Ride Along 2 was fifth. The Boy, Dirty Grandpa, the fifth. Shades of Black. 50 Shades of Black. See, it's like 50 Shades of Grey.
Right.
But it's a parody with a predominantly African-American cast.
Right.
So it's 50 Shades of Black. That's great.
Did Dave end up going to see that, by the way? He seemed very excited about it on Friday.
I've not talked to him about it yet, but I'm sure he has. $6.2 million in its debut. And then 13 Hours, The Secret Soldiers of Benghazi at number 10 with $6 million. Or as Kevin likes to call it, 19 Hours. He saw the sequel already before anybody else. So you missed that last week, Allie, while you were out sick. Everybody watch Grease Live last night?
Yes.
Did anyone enjoy Grease Live last night?
I loved it so much, I can't even begin.
You are the worst person that's ever lived.
What?
Or I follow everyone else that watched it because it was absolutely phenomenal.
I thought Friday you were yelling at me.
I tried.
You were yelling at me because I wouldn't watch it.
I felt the same way. Okay. Then I tried to watch it.
What are you talking about?
And you
Has there been a cast of more bland performers ever in the history of television?
I thought it was amazing.
Oh,
amazing!
You are so easy to please. Whew. I got about half an hour. I was like, I gotta go watch something else.
Wow!
These are some boring ass people.
I think America must be easy to please because it got rave reviews across the board.
Well, depends on what board you're looking at,
I guess.
True.
If you're looking at the Ralph board.
There were a lot of people on my board, by the way. I was reading Twitter, like, I've seen high school productions with more energy. I mean, the production values itself, it was shot beautifully, great costumes, great sets, great staging, but, boy, I don't know, maybe don't go to Nickelodeon when you're going to cast. Maybe Broadway's filled with performers who would like to do this. Even Variety said, sure, the two leads are awful, but other than that, this is a great production.
Oh, you're a bad man.
Read the review. I didn't say it. Variety did.
I would not read such an awful review. That's ridiculous.
Ralph, you weren't impressed with Vanessa Hutchins.
As long as you just cover your eyes, you're fine.
It's worked for me. Impressed with Vanessa?
I was impressed that she performed last night after her father passed away.
That's pretty impressive, right?
Yeah. Her father, Greg, passed away from stage 4 cancer. And she was a trooper.
I thought she was terrific.
She was a trooper. She went out there and she thanked everyone who kept him in their prayers and said she was doing the show in his honor, which is very nice. There were some solo performances, you know, when they sang the songs, they were great, but, boy.
Ooh.
Yeah. And it's so weird when they do these live musicals on television, because they don't do, a stage show, and so it's not a stage show, and then they try to shoot it sort of like, it was like a remake of the movie, but it wasn't quite a movie.
Yeah, it was a hybrid of everything.
It's a weird energy to these things. It's like sitting between two chairs. You know what happens when you sit between two chairs, Kevin?
You fall on the ground.
You fall on your ass, Kevin. That's what you do. And then you limp, just like Monday afterwards. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Harry Styles from One Direction is 22 years old today. Actress Heather Morris from Glee turns 29. Ronda Rousey You know her best, of course, as the namesake of the dog Rhonda Ruffy. She is 29 years old.
Is that where we know her from the most?
Sure, that's where she's best known.
Okay.
Big Boy from Outkast is 41. Speaking of Outkast, are you watching America Crime Story?
I'm not yet.
Andre 3000 from Outkast is one of the leads in it.
It's Regina King's husband.
Amazing performance. Yeah. He is quite the actor.
How good is that show?
When is that Jimi Hendrix biopic coming out, by the way?
Oh, I don't know.
That he stars in
about a year and a half ago.
It already came out?
Oh, yeah. Came and went.
Huh.
Yeah, it was poorly received. Remember, they had no...
Crossed my board. Everyone loved it.
They had none of his music authorized, so...
But what about my board? Michael C. Hall's 45.
Is that not an expression, across the board, people loved it?
It is.
Are you mocking me for saying that?
I'm mocking that you're saying everyone loved it and there was no dissenting opinion. I'm just saying there's a lot of people who had problems with it.
Well, I think you also follow a lot of snarky people that wanted to hate it, Ralph. Just saying.
I'm just saying Variety.
Just saying.
I don't follow Variety, but...
What?
Hmm?
Yeah. Sorry.
Michael C. Hall's 45. Patrick Wilson, drummer for Weezer. We love the Weezer.
We
love the Weezer?
We do.
Hey, you like the Weezer? 47 years old. And the reason we celebrate the day, the legend, the icon, thespian extraordinaire, the one, the actor other actors look up to. Pauly Shore is 48 years old today. Come on. Biodome? Like, that isn't a brilliant performance? The Weezer! Come on, you people.
We can all agree on that.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Kind of crazy that we're giving away tickets to go see this Bottle Rock Festival with Red Hot Chili Peppers, Florence and the Machine, Death Cab, Cold War Kids, and more. And we're also giving away tickets to go see Coldplay at the Rose Bowl. Both of those on today's Kevin and Bean Show. All the details at KRock.com. Keep listening for your chance to win coming up. And we'll check in with the TMZ.com newsroom and Harvey Levin in about 15 minutes, too.
Did you guys know the adult coloring book is a thing?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Coloring books.
Very much a thing. We were talking about this off the air last week. I was in a store the other day that had, I'm not joking, at least 20 different kinds of adult coloring books.
You don't strike me as a colorer.
It's not for me, but I know that it is very popular. It's definitely a thing that has come on strong in the last couple of years, and a lot of adults are doing it, and they're finding it relaxing and fun and a great diversion from stressful, busy lives. And I don't know. I don't know much about it. I don't know anyone who does it.
Yes, you do.
Yes, you do.
Who does adult coloring books?
Ralph Garman does it.
Ralph Garman?
I'm here to represent it.
Now, how about that? How did you... Is this something you got into just coloring with your daughter?
Yes. Obviously, there's no shortage of coloring books in my house because I got a five-year-old. And I started early on sitting down with her and coloring with her. It was one of the things we started to enjoy to do together. And so she's got a ton of, you know, kids coloring books. And then someone gave her... I think perhaps out of confusion, gave her one of the adult coloring books. And it's a series of I'm trying to define. I wish I had taken a picture. I knew we were going to talk about this, but I dropped the ball. Do you remember the artist, late 60s, early 70s, a guy named Peter Max?
Sure, yeah.
It was a guy who did a ton with geometric designs and swirls and stuff, and very ornate sort of illustrations. It looks like that. But it is blank, obviously, and you're supposed to color it in. And this particular one uses colored pencils versus crayons.
Okay.
And so this was sent to her as a gift, and she likes it enough, but I have fallen in love with it. When we go sit down, she'll sit down with one of her coloring books, and I'll pull this thing out, and I will just spend hours just coloring in this coloring book.
Does she put her coloring book away and go do something else, and you stay there and color?
Yeah, I leave the door open. She goes out and takes a walk or whatever. You know, but I'm doing important work, and so
she's on Xbox.
I'm there coloring, and the hook is for me is that it is completely relaxing in the sense that it is like meditation, or what I've heard meditation is like, where you just disconnect from your surroundings and your reality completely, and it's total focus just. It's just tactile and visual, and you don't think about it at all. You're just concentrating on filling in these shapes and the combinations of colors you use and everything. And it's an exercise in just the disconnect. It's like a little brain vacation. And I really get it. I really enjoy it. I find myself relaxing and feeling sort of revived and refreshed after I put it away.
Now, when you are done, do you sign it and hang it on the refrigerator so everybody can tell you how good you are?
Well, I've gotten 3 gold stars, I know that much, over my career as a colorer, so you can balk, but whatever. I got a cookie.
It's interesting because I have friends that actually have these coloring books. They're intricate designs. They're beautiful. They buy the most expensive markers, the most expensive, not crayons. They're actually like the ones, what were you saying?
Pencils.
Pencils, that's the word.
Is it that hard to find word pencil
still
you were
got
looking
that,
for?
That NyQuil thing happening. But the money that is now being spent on adult coloring books is insane.
Well, that's dumb. That part is dumb.
Why?
Because how much money are you going to spend on coloring? Something you could do with a box of 64 Crayolas and a coloring book. I mean, I enjoy the process, but I wouldn't dump a lot of money into the hobby.
I don't know. Maybe step it up a little. Maybe,
right?
you
maybe you'll get more gold stars.
Right. You reach the top
I'll
of one level.
A pro at this level, I guess.
we have some news coverage on this.
Yes, we do.
Jean Roberts didn't care much for coloring as a kid. Now, she does it every day.
What's the best part of it?
For me, it's when I'm finished. And I look at this and I'm like, oh, I did this. This is great.
Last April, Roberts posted a message on Facebook inviting other adults to color with her. That led to the creation of the Cornwall Coloring Club, a monthly group that sips, shades, and socializes.
Ralph, are you a member of a club?
Are you in a coloring club, sir? I'm going to put my coloring books away at this point. These people have ruined it for me. People are like, oh, so much money is going to... Oh, we have a club where we sit. Now you've just ruined my thing that I liked. All of you. Damn
the
people.
Goal is to unplug from the digital and immerse in the analog.
Well, just do a section.
I almost feel like a lot of people have liked coloring but don't want to say they like coloring because it's
closet
colorers.
Because of you. That's why. They don't want to say it because they don't want to be connected with you.
She says disgusted closet colorers.
Now there's shame associated with this.
Right. With your club, with your coloring club. You've ruined it for regular people.
Well, now we're like out of the closet sort of, you know.
For the past few months, adult coloring books have quietly become international sensations. This summer, the genre won several top spots on Amazon's best-selling list.
Is this the worst news report we've ever heard?
It's not great.
Just needs a rave bed to make it perfect.
Who is buying the book?
Some families are doing it together with their kids, people maybe that are recovering from illness or managing to do it in hospital. I've had investment bankers. I think at the base of it, everybody has that little bit of nostalgia about when they used to color when they were a kid.
Do you find this feels like therapy?
Being able to just sit and talk, that's always therapeutic.
Ralph, do you sit and talk?
We just sit and talk. That's all we do while we color in our books. It's like therapy. We sip and chat and talk and color.
Well, this report just killed your hobby, Ralph. Sorry.
I'm going to go burn all those coloring books.
Monday mornings, we talk to our friend Harvey Levin in the newsroom at TMZ.com. The man who has his finger on the pulse of everything that's happening with our favorite celebrities. Hey, Harvey, how was your weekend, sir?
It was good, guys. How about you?
You watched some of that Grease Live. What'd you think?
I did not see it. Was it good? A lot of people were talking about it.
It was so good, Harvey.
Was it?
It was so good. Yeah, you should totally watch it.
Somebody help me with this because I walked into the room and it was on. Somebody else in my house was watching it. And I watched it for about 2 minutes and I was like, I don't even recognize that song. Were there songs that weren't in the movie?
There was one original song that Carly Rae Jepsen did.
Okay, and there were a couple of songs from the Broadway show that weren't in the movie as well.
Oh, okay. Hmm.
So, yeah, it was kind of a – if you get a chance, Harvey, I don't know how you feel about musicals, but if you get a chance, check it out. It was super fun. So.
Charles, over here at TMZ, he saw Hamilton on Broadway this weekend.
Yes.
And said it was unbelievable.
Apparently the best show ever, right? Like, and the director of Grease Live last night is the guy who directs Hamilton on Broadway.
Oh,
too.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, interesting.
All right, listen. Since the last time we talked to you, we had that phenomenal Twitter thing happen with Kanye West and Amber Rose. And now it gets even stranger because Amber Rose's best friend, Blac Chyna, is in the news. And I know it's tough for people to keep all of the planets in the orbit around the sun that is Kim Kardashian straight. But how about a brief refresher course on how Blac Chyna fits into this whole story?
Oh, God. Okay. So Amber Rose was dating Kanye West.
Right. Check.
They broke up. She then married Wiz Khalifa, or had a baby with Wiz Khalifa. They broke up. and obviously Kanye's with Kim, and for some reason Kanye's had beef with Amber ever since. He started all this Twitter stuff and was, you know, calling her a stripper, and because he has beef with Wiz now. So they've been going back and forth. Amber is best friends with Blac Chyna, and Blac Chyna used to date... I'm doing okay here.
Yeah, so far, yeah, yeah.
Blac Chyna used to date Tyga, and they had a baby together. And then Tyga started dating Kylie Jenner. And according to Kylie, Blac Chyna started harassing, threatening, and stalking her. So Kylie and the Kardashians hate Blac Chyna.
Okay.
And then Rob started all of a sudden cavorting with Blac Chyna, and Khloé came home from a trip about 2 weeks ago and found Blac Chyna in her kitchen with Rob, and then threw them both out.
That's fantastic.
Good times.
Wow.
So,
that's a
so
flow
wait.
Chart right there.
Now, so Rob Kardashian, let me see if I get this right. Rob Kardashian is dating the ex-girlfriend of his sister's boyfriend.
Correct.
Oh, that seems like that's poor form. I would think. It's
really
stay away
poor
from
form
her.
For Rob Kardashian.
Well, maybe not for Rob Kardashian. All right.
And wasn't Kim actually friends with Blac Chyna before all of this? So really,
Kim and Blac Chyna were best friends.
And then Kim's sister started dating Blac Chyna's baby's dad.
I can't
right,
keep
Tyga.
Straight.
So really, Kim's this the bad one.
This is a mess.
Well,
all right,
we go into it knowing that.
So now we know who everybody is. So Blac,
we got to get into the craziness.
Okay,
week.
All right. So Blac Chyna is arrested. What for?
Unreal. So Blac Chyna leaves L.A. for London, but there's a stopover in Austin. So she, at some point, gets really super super drunk on Friday.
Okay.
And at about 4:30 in the afternoon, she tries to get on a flight going from Austin to London, and she is so drunk. She's acting up. She's swearing at people. She gets on the plane, and something happens, and she calls the flight attendant a nasty-ass bitch. And at that point, the police come on, and they arrest her for public intoxication.
I need Harvey to say that again.
Okay, one more time. Yeah. Nasty ass bitch.
Thank you. Very nice.
So now the craziness really starts. So Saturday, we get a tip that Rob Kardashian's Bentley is in Austin and that he was there. And I thought, okay, this is ridiculous. And I didn't believe it. But then I said, look, guys, just check it out. You know, they're so crazy, who knows, but we're not putting this up. Saturday night, we confirm it. Rob Kardashian got in a Bentley minutes after she got arrested, right around 4:30 in the afternoon, Austin time, 2:30 our time. Gets in a Bentley, apparently with a friend, drives 19 hours to Austin to pick her up. And she starts Instagramming pictures of the Bentley saying, bye, Texas.
What? Was she too drunk to just get on another plane and fly back to L.A.?
Of course not. I mean, it was a day later she could have gotten on a plane. But for some reason, they thought this was a good idea for Rob to drive a Bentley 1,900 miles.
And, so, like, 10 hours later, she's like, come on, man. How long do I have to wait?
Right?
Exactly.
She's out on the curb just waiting for Rob to pull up.
they are insane. And, the Kardashian family, and on a serious note, they're really concerned because, you know, Rob's saying, look, I'm happier than I've ever been, blah, blah, blah. Well, they're concerned because they believe that she's a really bad influence on him, and they're doing something bad, and this just proves it. So they think Rob's in trouble.
And there's so much drama in this family. And by the way, this isn't something that's being trumped up for a TV show. These people aren't on TV. This is just the life that they are living every day.
Exactly. And it's funny because Blac Chyna went to the airport on Friday at LAX to leave. It was literally she pulled up to the airport and Kris Jenner's Bentley goes into the driveway of Blac Chyna's house in the valley. And she sits down and confronts Rob. So she was just waiting for Blac Chyna to leave, and then she starts confronting him, and he's saying, oh, no, everything's okay, everything's great. And then about 6 hours later, she gets arrested.
This is America's royal family we're talking about here, Harvey. This is it. Unbelievable work. All right, you can follow Harvey on Twitter at HarveyLevinTMZ. Don't forget, lots of fine TMZ programming for you, including throughout the day on Fox, the OG TMZ, and then TMZ Live airs Monday through Friday at 4 on Fox. TMZ Sports, Monday through Friday on Fox Sports 1 at midnight, and the new South of Wilshire show, Monday through Friday on Channel 13 at 5:30. It's a lot of fun. Harvey,
fun
thanks for the update.
Show.
Yeah, game show, exactly. Something new for TMZ. Definitely check it out. Have a great week. We'll talk to you next Monday.
Okay, guys. We'll see you. Thanks.
The president of the Ultimate Fighting Championship, Dana White, joins us in studio in the 8 o'clock hour this morning, along with Matt Serra, former welterweight champion himself. They will be here for the hour. We'll have time to include your phone calls. A lot of fun. Always good to catch up with the president. I don't know if you're a Scooby-Doo fan or not, Kevin, but Scooby-Doo fans are outraged all over the world right now. I mean, outraged.
I liked Scooby-Doo when I was a kid, but I would not say that I reached the level of outrage right now.
Well, I didn't realize that Scooby-Doo was still a thing. I mean, I know they had those live-action movies a few years ago, but DC Comics is bringing it back with a new Scooby-Doo Where Are You, and they unveiled their artwork this week. And they have turned, well, they've turned them into hipsters, basically.
Yeah.
I mean,
sort of like hipster spacers. They're like from, I don't know, they're an out, I don't know what it's supposed to represent. But they've got like laser guns and all kinds of weird stuff.
And handlebar mustaches and tribal tattoos.
Tribal tattoos? I mean, it's just, it's crazy. And I know that you need to update them. They can't look square like they're from the 1960s anymore. But doesn't Scooby-Doo the dog have a bionic eye? Like, and they have laser weapons? I mean, it's just, it's the craziest thing in the world. Like, I mean, are they just trying to blow it up and just start over with an all-new... with an all-new deal here for fans? What are they trying
to
do?
I felt, when I saw the picture at first, I thought somebody's just trolling.
Right.
Somebody just trying to get a reaction because this is just so not Scooby-Doo.
Yeah, Fred with his tribal tattoo and the bandana and everything. I mean, it is, they are called the hipster Scooby-Doo. So we wanted to find out more about this. We asked Dave who we could talk to, and I believe we have Shaggy on the line, and Scooby-Doo might be with him as well. Shaggy, are you there?
Like zoinks, man!
Yeah! There he is. Well, you sound fine on the phone, but I'm looking at this picture of you, and I don't even recognize you with all the tattoos and the handlebar mustache.
Because it's not me, man.
It's
not you.
I don't
know what they did to me and my pal, Scoob.
Oh, no.
I know. Made it look like assholes.
Well, they,
you're right, Scoob.
Yeah, I mean, you're definitely hipsters. I mean, what do you think is going on here?
I don't know, man. I guess they feel like they have to update us. I didn't think there was anything wrong with the way we were.
I know. What happened to the mystery machine?
That's right, Scoob. No more mystery machine. These kids now are going on hoverboards.
It does look like it. I don't even understand what's going on with Scooby-Doo and the bionic eye. I mean, he's not a super dog.
I know. Look at him coming out of my eye.
I know, Scoob. Look at him. They've got emojis coming out of his eyeballs.
Yes, that's right. That's what those are. That's crazy.
What's going on, man? Looks like they're eating Scooby snacks over there in D.C., man.
So Daphne is wearing a tight short-sleeve T-shirt and a bandana, so she's hipping it up as well with the hair down in her face.
She has like a laser cannon.
She does. Yes.
She does have a laser cannon, yeah.
What's going on?
And like Velma, man. She's a midget lesbian playing the Xbox.
Yeah, that is, what is going on?
Well, she is a lesbian.
I know she's a lesbian, too. Oh. She's not a midget.
I don't know if that's ever been confirmed, Scooby.
Oh, Scooby's confirming.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah, we always knew it.
Okay.
In the back of the mystery machine, she was always trying to get under Daphne's mini skirt, man.
Okay.
Well, we all were.
Yeah, I was too.
Oh, oh no, no.
Nope.
Peanut butter.
No.
Don't give
Scooby.
All the away, Scoob. Zoinks, man.
Zoinks indeed. The title of the new DC series is called Scooby Apocalypse. What do we know about that? What's happening
it's
there?
It's supposed to be like after the apocalypse, man.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and everyone knows they would have eaten me.
That's right. If there was a nuclear blast, we'd eat Scooby first, man.
That's a given?
Yeah, you eat the dogs, man.
All right.
Sure, that's true. You do. Well, how do you think this is going to be received? Do you think it's going to go over big with your longtime fans?
No! I don't understand what the attraction is. People who love us the way we were. And new kids don't know who the hell we are.
Right. All true.
Now we have a designer sock line.
I know. They're giving us a designer sock line.
You have a designer sock line.
They're drawing me like I'm wearing skinny jeans. These guys would only solve mysteries in Silver Lake, dude.
I know. Pumpkin spice Scooby snacks.
That's right. Scooby snacks are now pumpkin spice.
Oh, no.
Hipsters are ruining it for everyone, man. They're giving me a handlebar mustache.
They did. You're probably the hipsterest of them all.
Yeah. And now Velma's going to grow a mustache.
No, she's not going to grow a mustache.
Go back to the part about the peanut butter. What was that about?
Oh, God.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 6 minutes till 7.
How about a trip for two to the Bottle Rock Napa Valley Music Festival?
We rock the bottle, we rock the bottle, we rock the bottle, we rock the bottle. Right? Moby?
Sure.
Bottle Rock?
Sure, why not?
Anything?
I think it's Body Rock, but yeah, close.
Oh, that's different. Oh.
This is a brand new festival, right? I haven't been asleep at the wheel. This is the first year of the Bottle Rock.
No.
Right?
No, they've done it a couple of years, yeah.
We rock the bottle, rock the bottle. We rock the bottle, right. Rock the bottle.
They've rocked the bottle for a couple of years.
It is on my radar now because listen to this lineup, you guys. More than 70 bands Memorial Day weekend in Napa Valley, including Death Cab for Cutie and Lenny Kravitz and Walk the Moon and Group Love, Florence and the Machine, Stevie Wonder, and in particular for right now, the Red Hot Chili Peppers, because we are looking for Chili Peppers fans. If you want to go see your boys Memorial Day weekend, including airfare and hotel, we're looking for Chili Peppers fans at 1-800-520-1067. You get a chance to earn those tickets just after 7. A trip for two to the Bottle Rock Napa Valley Music Festival.
We rock the bottle, rock the bottle. Nope. We rock the bottle, rock the bottle.
Still not.
Time for the showbiz beat. What's going on?
Do yourself a favor, by the way. If you've never seen the video for Moby's Body Rock, stop what you're doing, quit your jobs, drop out of school, pull over, log on immediately to YouTube, and watch it.
All right.
Maybe the greatest 4 minutes of your life.
To pull over and do that? You have to pull over? That it's that important?
Did I freaking stutter?
Yeah.
Did I stutter?
No, you said pull over.
You're goddamn right,
all right,
Kevin.
Okay.
Listen up. Do what's right, and everything will be everything. I don't even know what that means. Mm-mm. But we rock the bottle, rock the bottle. It's Monday, so we look at the top 10 movies at the box office. Kung Fu Panda 3, as expected, came out of the gate strong in its debut. $41 million made it number one. The Revenant was second. Star Wars Force Awakens. Third, The Finest Hours in its debut. Just picking up $10.3 million. By the way, I have nothing but the utmost respect and admiration for those who serve in the Coast Guard.
Right.
It's just a joke, people.
Oh, did you hear from them? Ship-to-shore transmission?
Just a joke. That's all it was. I have a friend who killed 34 drug smugglers. He's in the Coast Guard. Okay. All right. And they do fine work. It was just a joke. It's just a joke. Big fans. We rocked the Coast Guard. Rocked the Coast Guard. Right along, two was fifth. The Boy, Dirty Grandpa, The Fifth Wave, 50 Shades of Black. And 13 hours rounding out the top 10 moves at the box office. Since he left One Direction, we've all been anxiously awaiting the solo work of Zayn Malik, right?
Sure. Can't wait.
We've been holding our breath saying, when is Zayn going to release some solo music so we can hear his new direction? Not his One Direction, but his new direction. Well, good news. Zayn's solo album, Mind of Mind, is due out on March the 25th, but he just dropped his solo single. Oh, by the way, he's just going by Zayn now.
Oh, Zayn.
Just
Zayn.
Just Zayn.
Okay.
The one-name superstar?
No more need for the Malik. We just have Zayn. And really, with a name like Zayn, that's all you need.
That is true.
You're not going to run to, oh, are you Zayn Smith? Are you Zayn Jones? There's not going to be any confusion. It's just Zayn. Anyway, the solo single was released on Friday. If you haven't heard it, here's a little taste of new Zayn. It's a paradise in this our zone. It's a paradise in this our zone. Pillow Joe, my enemy, my ally. Prisoners, then we're free. It's a thin line.
Couldn't have done that with One Direction.
No, that's true.
No way, man.
Very different.
Couldn't come up with that. That is a depart. It's. We rock St. Malik. Rock St. Malik.
You seen the video, Ralph?
I have not seen the
girlfriend
video.
Gigi Hadid.
No, I've not.
Pretty good deal.
I've not seen the video. It's bad enough I've heard the song. Isn't that enough? Haven't I done enough for you people? I listened to that song.
Well, the video might be worth it with the sound down. That's all.
Here's some videos you should watch with the sound up. Tonight, if, like me, you are obsessed with The Bachelor, and maybe you stick around after The Bachelor to watch a little program called Bachelor Live, where...
No, I tune out then. I don't
Chris
watch that
B.
show.
Chris B. Harrison et al. Break down that episode of The Bachelor. You may want to tune in tonight to Bachelor Live, featuring yours truly, Ralph Garman, as one of the panelists on the show tonight.
Ralph?
Oh, yeah. Petros has got to be furious.
Well, Petros, I don't think he's a real fan anymore. I don't think he's a real fan.
Yeah, he wouldn't want to be there,
I don't
think.
I don't like this anymore. You know, yeah, I don't... Where's that bird? Where's Tweety Pie? You know, it's not. He's not a real fan. He goes along begrudgingly, but doesn't really love it. He doesn't really love The Bachelor the way I love The Bachelor.
You're going to be on the after
I'm
show.
I'm busting out. I'm going out on my own. And me and Chris B, we're going to sit down. We're going to break down tonight's episode of The Bachelor. We're going to figure things out. We're going to set some things straight.
Wow.
So tonight, after The Bachelor, Bachelor Live is the name of the program. It's on ABC. I will be there. And I hope you'll tune in and watch us. And it will be live. We'll be live. Anything can happen.
I've heard that.
Yeah. I'm going to do a few dance numbers. It'll be like Grease. I might do Greased Lightning. That's kind of live it's going to be.
Does this mean, Ralph, that you have already seen the episode to give you time to prepare for the live show tonight?
Perhaps.
Wow.
Ooh.
I rock the Bachelor, rock the Bachelor. I rock the Bachelor, rock the Bachelor.
See, this is where you hope to be in your career, where you're a big enough name in this town that you get to see The Bachelor before it airs.
Yep.
Is it just you up there with Chris, or is there someone else?
No, it's who's the very funny female comedian on? She's one of the new hosts of The View, I think she is. Michelle Williams, does that ring a bell?
No.
I don't know.
She's really good.
Michelle Collins.
Sorry, my bad. Michelle Collins will be there as well. I believe Ben himself.
Oh.
We'll be stopping by.
Is it still raining, Ben?
It's raining,
okay.
Ben.
All right.
Did you see yesterday? See the downpour? The torrential downpour of Ben we had yesterday?
Oh, that's weird.
It was raining, Ben.
Yeah. Is it the most dramatic Bachelor ever, though, still?
I got to tell you something. Tonight's episode will change your life. That's all. That's all
will
I'm promising.
Will change your life.
It's gonna
that's
I'm not
bold.
Saying it'll do everything. Just change your life
just
for the better.
Life.
That's all I'm going to say.
All right.
Yeah, there's some S goes down.
Exciting. You're going to be on the after show.
I am very excited.
Love it.
I hope for a Kevin Ryder-esque performance after after the Sons of Anarchy kind of thing.
Don't move your arms.
I'm just going to put a cardboard cutout of me out there and just stick my lips through it. Clutch cargo.
Don't shoot too high, Ralph.
I'll try to keep my expectations.
That's right. Now, do we need a recap show tomorrow of Bachelor Live?
Yeah.
I don't know. It's almost like Inception, isn't it? If
sort
I start of. Talking about myself,
yeah.
talking about The Bachelor,
yeah.
while
confusing,
talking
yeah.
about a show about me talking about The Bachelor, do I have to spin a top and find out if I wake up or not?
I don't know.
The snake might be eating its tail at that point. All right, we'll have to wait and see. But I'm excited. I'm nervous. I couldn't be more thrilled that they were kind enough to ask me to go on. So I hope you'll all tune in after The Bachelor because
it's going to be awesome.
There's a lot to talk about. Today's celebrity birthdays, Pauly Shore is 48 years old today. Patrick Wilson, drummer for Weezer, he is 47. Michael C. Hall is 45. Big Boy! Oh, not that Big Boy. The rapper from Outkast is 41. Ronda Rousey is 29. Heather Morris from Glee is also 29. And Harry Styles, oh, he's got to be hating himself today. Listen to that sweet, sweet Zayn music. No, he's not a part of it. He is 22 years old. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
You can go to BottleRockNapaValley.com to buy your tickets for the Bottle Rock Napa Valley Music Festival coming up Memorial Day weekend this year. But we are giving away a trip, including airfare and hotel accommodations, to see all the great acts, including the Red Hot Chili Peppers and Lenny Kravitz and Stevie Wonder and Cold War Kids. And the list goes on and on and on. And we're doing it with a game that we like to call Chillbilly.
It's Chillbilly. We're going to play all day. See the Red Hot Chili Peppers, they sing that song, give it away. It's Chillbilly, come on, get it right. Get hotel tickets to the show and even get a flight. It's Chillbilly, come on, try your luck. Cause these bluegrass versions kinds of songs all freaking suck. It's Chill Billy. Come on, y'all. Time to play Chill Billy.
Hee-haw indeed, Kevin. The lines are stacked with Red Hot Chili Peppers fans. What are they going to be doing here?
They're going to be identifying a Red Hot Chili Peppers song, but it's going to be done in banjo music. Yeah, it's rough.
Bluegrass
style. It's
going to
be rough. Bluegrass style, right?
Hillbilly music.
Right. So we're going to start with Robert in Colton. Hi, Robert.
Hi. How are you?
We are very good. Thank you. Are you ready for your song?
Yeah.
All right. Name this Red Hot Chili Pepper song.
Breaking the Girl?
Breaking the Girl is correct.
She was a girl.
Yeah, I don't feel like we need that hillbilly style, but congratulations. Hold on.
Yeah, well done. You were in the drawing. By the way, this is going to be, somebody will win an actual trip, airfare, hotel, and tickets to the show just for being on the air with us here.
All right. Richard and Glendora, good morning.
Good morning, guys.
Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. Here you go. You ready?
Ready.
They are searching very well to break the spell of aging. Celebrity scan, is this your chin, or is that war you're waging?
That'd have to be the state we live in, Californication?
That is correct, sir.
To break the spell of aging.
Nicely done.
Two for two.
All right, you hold on. Let's go to Dan in Sierra Madre. Hi, Dan.
Hi, dude. How's it going?
Good, thank you.
See, it's called Chillbilly because it's the Chili Peppers done in a hillbilly music style. That's what we're doing.
What? All right, here you go, Dan.
At least I have her love, the city she loves me. Lonely as I am, together we cry.
Under the bridge!
Under the bridge!
At least I have her love.
Well done.
Right. These listeners know their Chili Pepper songs.
Yes, they do. Let's go to Steve in Pomona. Hi, Steve.
Hey, man, what's up?
We're doing Chill Billy. You ready?
Yep.
There you go.
Oh, baby, think you can be my girl. I'll be your man. Someone full of fun. You might feel I'm well done. Little Bo Peep coming from my stun gun.
F you, right? You.
That doesn't need to exist.
That's, you stop that.
There's no reason that lives.
Steve, what's the name of that song?
That, Suck My Kiss.
That is Suck My Kiss.
Oh, baby.
All right. Let's go to Monica in Ontario. Hi, Monica.
Hi.
Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. You ready? Here you go.
Push me up against the wall. Young Kentucky girl in a push-up bra. Falling all over myself to lick your heart and taste your health. Because with the birds I'll share this lonely view.
Monica?
Monica? Are you there?
That's scar tissue.
Yes.
Oh, yes.
Yes. Push me up against the wall.
Are those power naps effective for you? Do you feel refreshed afterwards? Or if you're just joining us, we're giving away tickets to see, among other bands, the Red Hot Chili Peppers at the Bottle Rock Napa Valley Festival coming up Memorial Day weekend. I think we got time for one more.
All right. Let's go to Joshua in Corona. Hi, Joshua.
Hey, good morning.
You ready for Chill Billy?
Yep.
Here you go.
To see the show tonight.
I got
to
be honest, that one works.
What do you think there, Joshua?
By the way.
Yeah. I could not be more impressed with all of our listeners. Robert and Richard and Dan and Steve and Monica and Joshua all are in the drawing. One will go to the Bottle Rock Napa Valley Music Festival Memorial Day weekend, including airfare and hotel accommodations. Ellen McKay, who's our winner, please?
The winner is Robert.
Robert! Congratulations, Robert!
Oh, man, thank you.
You won the tickets, you got the airfare, the hotel, the concert. Enjoy it, and thanks for playing the game.
It's Chill Billy! Thanks for playing our game. And I told you those bluegrass versions of songs were really lame. Yeehaw!
Dana White joins us next hour on the Kevin and Bean Show. He is the president, of course, of the UFC. Also, former welterweight champion Matt Serra will be with him. They have a hilarious travel documentary that they're doing on YouTube. That's really funny. Dana White, by the way, Kevin, looks like the guy you want to travel with.
Yeah.
He really does it. He does it right.
Yes, he does.
First, though, at the end of last week, we were having a discussion off the air because we had another mini earthquake. I think it was a 2 point something in Culver City. And we kind of got to talking about earthquakes. And, you know, some people never think about it. It's just something that never even comes to their mind. Or maybe it's way in the back of their mind. They know that eventually one day it's possible there'll be a very, very large earthquake. And then there's Allie McKay.
Come on.
And Allie McKay,
she's a little more active than that.
We found out spends about 14 and a half hours of every day preparing for an earthquake.
To make sure
that at no time is she ever unprepared if the earthquake hits at that second. Which, by the way, I think is completely commendable, Allie. I have no problem with it at all. But I am curious why it is you're so afraid or so convinced that the earthquake could happen at literally any second.
Well, A, because it can.
Right.
I think we all know that.
Right.
And to be prepared with just little things that you can do every single day to make sure that you are as prepared as possible should the big one occur, I think it is something everyone should be doing.
See, that was strange to me because it's an everyday thing. Like I have, you know, food and earthquake preparedness kits and all that
Excellent.
Stuff. Have all of that.
Excellent.
But you go the extra step of doing stuff every single day so that if it's tomorrow, you're ready.
But I don't think it's weird. I just make sure that every single day at night I charge my phone. It is charged next to me on my bed.
Right.
I'm never below 100%. Because should there be a power outage, God forbid you can't get a hold of people, landlines are down,
right.
You have that. I also have the backup batteries that are charged at all times
okay.
that you can just plug right into your phone as mm-hmm. well. So reserve packs.
Right.
Not weird.
Well, who do you think's trying to call you, by the way, in the event of an earthquake?
How dare you?
I'm not saying that it's weird or not. I'm saying that you make sure you're at 100% every night.
Yeah.
If I go to bed and then my phone's at 74% or whatever.
God.
I just turn it off and go to bed.
No. Plug it in. And then I always make sure I never go below a quarter of a tank of gas. Ever.
Specifically because of earthquakes.
Hmm. Oh, my God. If that should happen, huge, big one, you can't fill up your tank and then you have to drive hundreds of miles to get to civilization again. You'll never get there.
Hundreds of miles for any civilization?
Yes, it could happen.
But let me ask you this question, and that is, haven't there been lots of earthquakes in the time that you've lived in L.A.?
Born and raised here, yeah.
Okay, so lots of earthquakes, including some pretty sizable ones.
Yeah.
What's the longest we've ever not been able to buy gasoline after an earthquake? I feel like unless the gas station is destroyed by the quake, all the other stations are open.
Exactly my point.
Wait, how is that your point?
What I'm saying is the big one. We haven't had the big one yet.
Right.
Where everything shut down. Doesn't have anything to do with the gas station being destroyed. They can't open because there's no power. There's no nothing.
Okay.
It's complete chaos.
But you think about that on a daily basis. So on your way home from work or whatever you're doing during the day, you look at your gas tank and you say, is it above a quarter of a tank? Because.
Yeah.
Wow.
And then just one other thing that I do, I have a robe and a pair of Vans slip-ons that are right by my door every single night. And before I set my alarm, I glance over. Okay, there it is. Because, you know, you need a robe middle of the night.
Right.
Hanging out with your neighbors like, hey, I'm naked. No one wants that. No one.
So then that means it occurs to you every night before you go to bed when you make that check that there might be an earthquake while you're asleep that night.
Yeah.
Like you are that aware of it every single day.
Yeah.
Are you disappointed every single day when you get up and you go about your business, you go to bed at night, and once again, all of your preparedness is for naught and there's no earthquake?
But it's not for naught.
It has been up until this point.
A little bit. But I'm super duper prepared.
Right.
And here's the thing. If I'm running through my house and picture frames are all over the place, there's glass, I'm okay because I've slipped on my Vans.
Right, your Vans.
I'm good. I'm ready.
And your robe.
Yes.
You're ready to go.
Thank you for noticing.
We're going to take some calls if you do something daily to prepare for the earthquake. Because that to me blew my mind that you think about that every single day.
I mean, it doesn't, you know, rule my life. It's just something like a quick thought every night. Charge the phone, glance over, shoes there, great.
If you're one of Allie's people and you're willing to admit it, call us at 1-800-520-1067. What are your food and water provisions like?
That's a problem. Because I should really update my kit for the car and for my home. But I also have neighbors that have a ton of food and water, so I can rely on them.
Wait, are you a doomsday prepper?
I am not.
No,
I know.
So gasoline below a quarter of a tank,
yes.
Charged phone and a robe and slippers.
Yeah.
But no food.
Dehydrated and hungry. Yeah, I'm not bright. I never said I was smart.
Weird.
Yeah.
Did you see the video that Dave sent out last week of the earthquake bed?
No.
The earthquake bed is awesome, Allie, and I can't believe you don't have it. It is a bed. You've got to see this video. It is a bed that has how do you even describe it, Kevin? It's kind of like it has something above it, above the bed, like
Sort of spring-loaded, isn't
like
it?
Like a shield above the bed? Or
yes, kind of like. Okay. And in the event of shaking, it folds into itself and encloses you in a box. Basically.
Oh,
so
see, now to me, I go, oh, no, 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 no. I don't want to be, nothing's going to happen and it's going to go off and I'm going to be closed in a box.
Well, there's a button inside
that
you can push to open it up. But the beautiful thing about it is the box is fireproof and the box protects you in the event that your ceiling collapses. That's what it's for. So that the ceiling doesn't collapse on you and kill you in bed.
Or you get buried alive, either way.
But it's so funny, though, to see the way you get sucked inside. And there's food and water inside, and there's a fire extinguisher inside, and you can stay in there as long as you need. There's a whistle that you can blow to alert authorities if they're going through the rubble of your home to let them know that you're there. I mean, it's a pretty cool invention that somebody came up with.
Inside the ball! Let me out!
An earthquake bed, though. How about that? And, wow. And you would never make any other movements in your bed that would make the thing collapse on you, so you'd be safe. You'd be fine.
I don't appreciate that.
you don't have food.
I have food. I just don't have
for earthquake food.
Dehydrated food. I don't have that. I should update that.
Let's talk to Victor in Covina. He's on line one. He's got a question about something we have not discussed in the event of the big one. Hey, Victor.
Hey, Kevin, and being a longtime listener.
Thank you, man.
That's great. She's all prepared and stuff with batteries and food and flashlights and slippers. But what about a gun?
What about a gun, Allie?
She's going to need protection because people are going to come after her if she knows.
What about murder?
Putting it out there on the air that she's got all these things.
Wait, hold on a sec. They're going to come after her because she has water?
They want
my batteries. She doesn't have water, but she sure has a charged full phone.
She's got a phone.
She's got that going.
Do her any good.
Do you have a gun?
I don't, but what if I'm like, hey, do you want to borrow my phone? Maybe that would work. Instead of shooting them.
No, I'm sure that would work.
Oh, no.
Don't worry
Victor,
about it.
Now I have to get a gun.
All right, you better start a new checklist. It sounds like the listeners have got some good ideas.
Gun.
All right, Xander, you hang on, and Gabby and Marissa, we got all sorts of people who are Allie's people. You are ultra prepared for the earthquake. You get the last laugh when it happens. We want to talk to you. 1-800-520-1067 right after this on K-Rock. We found out last week that our own Allie McKay is obsessed with being prepared for the big one. She has earthquakes on the mind all the time. Corey writes in to the Kevin Bean Twitter account, I am the same way as Allie with earthquakes. I also assess emergency exits and hiding places whenever I go somewhere new.
See?
How about hiding places?
I do that just for people shooting me.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Man, oh man.
Mike writes in.
It's a dangerous place to be inside your head.
I'm not sure why Allie thinks the cell phone towers will stay up during the big one. Why doesn't she get a satellite phone? See, maybe that's the next step.
Okay, satellite phone, gun, got it.
All right, let's talk to Marissa real quick. She's in Cyprus. She's on line four. Felipe, you hang on. We definitely going to get to you as well, and Gabby, too. 1-800-520-1067. Marissa, how prepared are you in the event of an earthquake?
Hi, good morning.
Hi there.
Hi, so like Allie, I never go below half a tank of gas.
Half a tank.
Okay, hers is a quarter, but go ahead. All right.
Okay, half a tank. There might be a big line. I have two pairs of closed-toe shoes in my car, and I have an entire drawer of food at work that I don't share with anyone.
I love Marissa so
much. Now, how long do you think that's going to last if you guys do get stuck at work after a big earthquake closes your building or something?
Probably at least like a day or two.
I'm just saying, you think you're not going to share it, but what you know how people turn on each other in the event of a crisis. Mm-hmm. Once they see you, look out.
I guess they better start being nice to me then.
Oh, there it is. There it is.
All right. She is well prepared. Thank you for the call, Marissa. We appreciate it. Let's try Gabby West Hills Line 3 up next on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hey, Gabby.
Hey.
You're earthquake prepared?
Yes, I am very earthquake prepared, and I learned my lesson after the earthquake.
Okay.
So I have an earthquake kit in both of my vehicles and in my garage, but in each kit, I have a bottle of tequila.
Yes.
I like the way you think.
Yes.
Okay. Is it an expensive bottle of tequila?
It's Patron, you know.
All right.
You gotta celebrate, you know. It's just like you survive, you did the land surfing, you gotta have a shot, you know, that sort of thing.
All right.
Allie, how are you fixed for alcohol in the event of the big one?
Oh, my whole freezer's full. Everything.
Okay, so
yeah,
okay.
I'm good.
You're set.
That I have.
Perfect.
Good.
Thank you, Gabby.
All right, let's try Felipe. He is on line one, North Hollywood.
Hey, Felipe.
Hey, good morning, guys. How's it going?
Good. Thanks for talking about daily preparations for the big one.
Yeah, I think I one-upped Allie. So not only am I super anal about my phone charge battery, I leave my house at 100%, get into my car, charge it, get into work, charge it. Not only that, I welcome the big one. I can't wait for it.
Did you say I welcome it?
Yeah.
What do you mean you can't wait for it?
I can't wait to just, it hits and gets, you know, get it over with already. Just so these little tremors and everybody gets all, you know, panicky. Not only that, my family's in on it too. I got a family member in Orange County. She's a doomsday prepper to the worst degree.
Okay.
Not only that, we have a contingency plan, not only here in L.A., where to meet, the meetup point for plan A, because we have a special needs family member, where to get to them first, who's going to be what, where, and, you know, when,
right,
schedule-wise. And then plan B is we go to Vegas to our other family member's house and head east if all hell breaks loose in California.
Mm-hmm. Strong. Strong.
I
now,
like it.
I think it's smart that you have all these contingency plans. You'll be the one family that's not panicking about where everybody is in the event of a big earthquake. But why do you welcome it? Aren't you hoping you never have to use any of these contingency plans?
Oh, no. I love don't get me wrong. I don't want to say I love it, but the Northridge quake, I was a kid. Hey, I was like, it was pretty cool. I mean, obviously, there was a lot of bad side to it, but I don't know. I'm a natural disaster kind of guy.
Okay. All right, you're scaring me.
That is quite the Match.com profile.
Wow. No. Like, let me tell you. Like, I'm the kind of guy, hey, if there's a tornado, I want to be there to shoot it. I want to be the guy running at it. I'm one of those kind of guys.
Okay.
There must be someplace. Isn't there someplace more dangerous in the world you could go live, though, where you'd be more likely to have some sort of a disaster?
Yeah, I don't know. Earthquake-wise, this is pretty good.
It's pretty good, but they're so infrequent of any size. I mean, I feel like you should really be rolling the dice, and you should be living in some place. Like, find the place in Louisiana that always floods or something, just so you've got that adrenaline. You know what I mean?
I'm a good swimmer, so then it cancels itself out.
Oh, okay. All right.
Okay. Well, you've given it a lot of thought, Felipe, but I appreciate you sharing. Thanks,
guys,
man.
Long-time listener. Take care.
Thank you, man. Wow. He's way ready.
Yeah.
He's set. There's if you could attract a man, Felipe would be the one for you, Allie.
Yeah.
If 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 7:51.
Ralph is here, but ahead of the show, Bisbee. Ralph, do you mind if we take care of some business? We got to Weezer it up real quick with one of our listeners.
Sure, Weeze.
Got that trip to Amsterdam. Promise we'll give it away.
Trisha Benke.
Yes?
It's Kevin and Bean.
No way.
How are you today?
I'm freaking fantastic now.
Tell people the phone call that you've been waiting for and that you just got.
Oh, my God. I just won the trip to Amsterdam.
That's correct, yes. Weezer in Amsterdam.
Oh, my God. Holy crap. That's so awesome.
Have you ever been to Amsterdam?
No, I've never been to Amsterdam.
Do me a favor. Go to the banana bar. That's a good tip. It's a good tip. I'm telling you, you'll like it.
Holy f***.
And there's no reason to try to stash your weed on the flight over. You can buy it cheaper there.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. I'm freaking out.
Congratulations. We're happy for you. Thanks for listening to K-Rock. And let us know when you get back how it goes.
Oh, I will. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Hold on. We'll give you all the details.
Okay.
Banana bar. Good tip, Kevin.
Thank you.
Good tip. President of the UFC, our friend Dana White, back in studio with us just after 8, along with former welterweight UFC champion Matt Serra. It's going to be a lot of fun to catch up with those guys. Rob's got the Showbiz Beat now on a Monday.
Thank God Bean is there to give out the weed advice to our listeners.
Trying to help.
I'm glad. But no, it's really.
Hey, I know stuff.
Our listeners need an expert like yourself to step up and provide some cannabis information.
Unreal!
Right.
If you're thinking about that wacky tobacco, you should.
I thought that was a helpful tip, by the way.
You can
buy
get
it on the
there.
Ground. You don't have to bring it.
A little programming note tonight on ABC. First of all, you're going to watch The Bachelor. That's a given. And then stick around after The Bachelor, because they do a program called Bachelor Live, where we watch the game tape and break it down and show you all the ins and outs of that night's episode.
You just said we watched. You said
well,
we.
The reason I included myself, it's not the royal we.
Ah.
It is kind enough of the folks over there at The Bachelor to invite me to participate tonight, along with my boy Crispy Harrison. I will be on the.
Hey, where are the kids with the yay? That's pretty exciting. Come on, kids.
Yay!
Get with it.
There they are.
I'll be sitting on the couch with some very nice people. Michelle Collins, very funny lady. One of the new hosts of The View. She will be participating. Lacey Chabert, you remember her from 40 and 5 and all her other projects. She will be on as well tonight. And it's just going to be a blast, I hope.
You're going to help Chris if he has has some snacks or something to open and he can't navigate them with his tiny little hands?
What? Wow. Why are you allowing this to be a thing? Just because Petros said it.
Because once he pointed out how tiny Chris Harrison's hands are, it's impossible not to notice them now.
Now... Asperger Licklipper up there.
He's got little tiny mosquito hands. Asperger. They're not human size.
They are absolutely. They're fine hands.
They're like doll hands.
Normal hands.
No, they're perfectly normal for a 2-year-old, but what we're saying is,
right,
we're just saying they're normal, though. When you tune in to watch Ralph on The Bachelor Live tonight, please take particular note of Chris Harrison's hands. That's all we're saying.
He licks his lips so much, too. I can't stop seeing it. It's going to be a good time, and... hope to help me deal with my paralyzing fear of Olivia on that show. Oh, she's terrifying to me.
Yeah.
Oh, she's scary.
She won't be joining you, though. You don't have to be in a
I hope
room
not. I don't know. Okay. It's live. I don't know what's going to happen. She could jump out of a cake in front of me for all I know. I just wet myself right there on the couch. She's terrifying, that girl.
That'd be pretty funny.
That would be. It's Monday morning. Let's take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office. That's what we do. Kung Fu Panda 3, in its debut, made $41 million. That is a lot of money. It's a great movie, by the way. I checked it out this weekend with my kid, and we had a great time. Also, by the way, Kung Fu Panda 3, number one largest grossing film ever in China this weekend. Had a huge opening in China. This movie is part of a new partnership between DreamWorks and a company called Oriental DreamWorks.
Mm-hmm.
Racist. And they are partnering up to do animated projects that reflect Chinese cultural interest that people would respond to. And this movie takes place completely in China.
Interesting.
And it's a monster hit there. Biggest grossing opening weekend for an animated film ever in China. And they apparently have done a complete revoicing of the cartoon, as you can imagine, with Jackie Chan as one of the stars.
Oh, no kidding.
And so it's a monster hit there and a big hit here this weekend as well. $41 million. The Revenant was second. Then Star Wars The Force Awakens. Finest Hours in its debut made just $10.3 million. And then Ride Along 2 at number 5, The Boy, Dirty Grandpa, The Fifth Wave, 50 Shades of Black in its debut made $6.2 million. And 13 Hours, The Secret Soldiers of Benghazi, rounding out your top 10 movies at the box office over the weekend. Mariah Carey, she told E! News that there are some issues being engaged to her fiancé James Packer. The diamond ring, engagement ring he gave her, she told E! News, is so heavy I can't lift up my arm.
Oh, that's so funny.
Oh, so many people laughed. But not Bernie Sanders, oddly enough.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why he's not
strange.
Laughing. It's a 35 carats, by the way, if you're keeping track at home.
Yeah.
I want to play that game, so. Would you go to a restaurant called the Krusty Krab? I would.
Yeah, I would.
Hoping to see SpongeBob right there, right? There is a restaurant called the Krusty Krab, and as you can imagine, Viacom, that owns SpongeBob SquarePants, is not happy about it. They are suing the company called IJR Capital Investments, saying that the name of their restaurant is an infringement on a trademark owned by Viacom. Now, they never trademarked the name Krusty Krab for a restaurant, so this may actually go to court. But Viacom is saying, you know, not only is the restaurant ripping off our cartoon series, but we may want to license a restaurant chain of our own under that name.
Now.
Like they did with Forrest Gump. Bubba Gump.
Yeah, they did, yeah.
Company, right? So we'll have to wait and see. And Dave could not be happier.
Dave the King of Mexico?
Yes. First of all, 50 Shades of Black came out this weekend.
Sure.
That made him happy.
Mm-hmm.
But now, the Gilmore Girls revival is on. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. It's on. Warner Brothers TV head Peter Roth said the series will be finished properly, and it's going to be great. He said, we're very excited. They are going to do four final 90-minute episodes of Gilmore Girls on Netflix called mini-movies. And this way they'll be able to wrap up the story the way they want to.
Well, I think what had happened, wasn't it that the creator showrunner was fired, and then they did the last season of the show without her? So
yes.
A lot of fans thought, well, that's not the way she would have done it, so let's give her the opportunity to wrap it up.
Right.
Netflix is just making everyone's dreams come true. You think of a show that you want to get back together, and they'll do it.
Just by thinking about it?
Yeah, it's kind of reading your minds.
That's awesome.
But look at what they're
creepy.
Doing.
Netflix is reading our minds. But other than that, they're making our dreams come true.
With Arrested Development and with Fuller House and with Pee Wee, I mean, they're spending all the money on all of it.
Hand
it's crazy.
Check.
No kidding. Take it easy.
I'm just saying it's awesome that they exist and that they're doing this.
And the CW has unveiled a bunch of new TV series that it's making. Riverdale. Story of Archie and the gang. Archie,
you know I'm in, Ralph. You know I love Archie.
Jughead and Betty and Veronica. Reggie.
Mm-hmm.
Moose.
Yeah. Mr. Weatherby.
Mr. Weatherby. The whole gang will be back together again in Riverdale. Heard it's going to be a gritty, updated, modern
Is that
version,
true?
However, yes. Jughead's going to have a bionic eye. Emojis come out of it.
No, that's
Archie's going to have tribal tats.
I think that's Scooby-Doo.
And Betty's going to be a midget lesbian playing an Xbox.
You're thinking of Scooby-Doo.
They revamped the comic book last year, and everybody is impossibly buff in Riverdale now.
Yeah, and Archie got shot.
Yeah,
dead.
He did. He did get shot, yeah.
It's a whole new world in comic books, people.
Man, Bean is strangely up on this one.
I do love me some Archie.
I'm just glad Netflix is making my dreams come true, and Archie's back. He has a very narrow window of passions, but they are strong.
He loves his Archie.
I do love
We just found out.
They're going to set a show on Mars, is the CW also, about a space drama that follows a team of humans to the red planet to join the colonists that are already there, only to find out they vanished.
Oh, no.
Mark, where'd they go?
And
then another film called Frequency, in which a female cop, it's based on the movie Frequency, it's a TV series in which a female cop will find out that she can speak to her dead father through a ham radio.
Okay.
He was also a police detective, and he can help her figure out cases. Hey, Dad, is there any evidence anywhere? Look under the couch. All right, thanks. Signing off. It's going to be great. Today's celebrity birthday is Pauly Shore. The week? Yeah. 48 years old today. Patrick Wilson. Weezer drummer, he's 47. Michael C. Hall, Dexter himself, 45. Big Boy from Outkast is 41. Ronda Rousey is 29 years old today. Heather Morris from Glee, also 29. And One Direction's Harry Styles celebrates his 22nd birthday. I'm Ralph Garman and walk the showbiz beat.
I feel like a loser for having hair. Like all the cool kids are bald now. What are we doing, Kevin? We're wasting our time. Yeah. Thrilled to welcome to the studio Matt Serra, former UFC welterweight champion and, of course, excellent UFC fight commentator, and his good friend Dana White, the president of the Ultimate Fighting Championship. Hello, boys. How are you?
Good. How you doing, Bean?
Pleasure to have you in. The guys have a show together along with their friend Nick the Tooth Gulio called Looking for a Fight that is very fun. And Dana, I don't know how you have the time with your busy schedule running an empire to fly all over the country and shoot this silly show for YouTube.
It's been crazy. It's definitely been crazy. This week we're here in L.A. We go back to Vegas tonight, and then we're in San Francisco on Wednesday, and then we fly straight from there to Minneapolis to film there for 3 days, then fly back Friday night for our fight in Vegas on Saturday. Yeah, it's nuts. That's my schedule.
I love so much the premise, though, that you set in the pilot last fall, which is I am hitting the ground and finding talent that otherwise would not be on my radar. And I would imagine the bigger the UFC gets, the more and more people, young people, are out there fighting in smaller venues. They want to make it to the UFC, and they've got to figure out a way to get to you to notice them, right?
Yeah, it's very true. You know, early on when we first bought the UFC, I used to travel around and do that. And I found guys, you know, look, Robbie Lawler, who's our world champion right now, found him traveling around, a lot of other talent. So it's good to be back out there, and Sarah's pretty fun to to hang out with. So
yeah, we have a good time. We now, keep it light.
How many different, like, fighting groups are there out there? I mean, are they just endless?
Yeah, endless. I mean, every weekend, all over the world, there's fights happening. So, you know, we kind of have to pick and choose which ones we want to go to. For instance, we're going to Minneapolis this week. We're going there on Thursday, and there's a heavyweight that we're interested in that's fighting on this show. So I'm going to check out this heavyweight.
How many people during the course of a week or a month or whatever, a day, try to get your attention and say, look at my fighter?
Well, now with the show, I mean, they're...
Yeah, we're getting blasted everything through Twitter and every Instagram. Like, come check this guy out. Come to this show. This is the next guy for you. So, yeah, I'm personally getting a ton of that, so you must be getting swamped with that.
Yeah, but it's good. It's a good problem to have. You know, we're not doing less fights these days, so the more guys, the better. And girls.
Let's talk about as one example of somebody who was kind of discovered on your show, and that was Sage Northcutt, who fought this weekend in the UFC.
Yep.
So tell me about the night that you guys – where did you see Sage?
We were in
– Louisiana.
Yeah, we were in Louisiana at a show called Legacy. And it was a great card that night, and Sage was a kid who really stood out. But it started out, you know, when we first saw him, we were making fun of him. And,
well, the spray tan. Oh, my God.
Yeah. And the physique, the hair, everything. But, you know, what a good kid. I mean, the kid is obviously a young talent and a great kid.
How do people stand out to you? I mean, I imagine 99% of all fighters are just okay.
Well, you know, it's part of... You can watch something on TV or a tape or something like that, but when you go there live, you feel the crowd. Then we go in the back. We meet the guys after. We talk to them. There's a different feel in being there live. It's like baseball scouts. There's tons of baseball scouts. They go and they watch these guys. They're in the seats when these guys are pitching or hitting, or it's totally different.
Is that a crowd factor where you can just tell that they're into a fighter into a fighter?
The kid Mickey Gall that we saw down in Philly, there was a crowd factor and a personality factor and obviously a talent factor.
And it's also how they perform under pressure. Fighting is pressure as it is. Knowing that we're in the audience and this could be a break for you, that's a big thing. So either they shine or sometimes guys can't pull. We see guys just not pulling the trigger. And if they're not pulling
the
trigger,
afraid to actually fight.
Well, I mean, it's that performance anxiety. I mean, or either guys shine or they don't. Either they pull the trigger or don't.
Like the other kid in Philly, you know,
Corey Anderson's buddy, who's a UFC fighter, and he goes, "That's one of my main training partners." This guy we saw fight had a very lackluster fight. We were actually making some jokes in the audience,
right?
And then we were talking to Corey Anderson, who's the exact opposite, total warrior. And he's saying this guy is his main training partner. It gives him fits. They have good battles and sparring. And then we show up, and it was a pretty bad.
The worst fight. Yeah. One of the worst fights I've ever seen.
I was being nice.
The kid froze. The kid absolutely froze.
Pressure either brings out the best or the worst.
Exactly. Yeah. And we're looking for the guys that can handle the pressure and can, you know, when the spotlight's on them, they shine.
If they freeze up when we show up, what are they going to do when they get to the big show?
Yeah, exactly.
You know?
We're talking to Dana White and Matt Serra from the UFC about, among other things, the new TV show it's not a TV show. It's a YouTube show called Looking for a Fight. You can see that on YouTube or on UFC Fight Pass. How many fights a month are there with the UFC now, Dana? It seems like every weekend you got something.
Yeah, no, it's we it's either a Fox fight, a Fox Sports 1 fight, or a pay-per-view. And a Fight Pass. I mean, now we're doing, you know, people who subscribe to a Fight Pass, too. So, yeah, we're doing 2-3 a month.
That's unbelievable. By the way, Randy Brown, another fighter that you found with the Looking for Fight show, he fought this past weekend and won, right?
Yeah, he looked good. Again, you know, he came into the big show, fought a guy. You know, you don't find too many guys that are 6'4", 170 pounds.
Wow.
So he fought another guy like his height and size, and he performed. I think that he's going to be a great talent for us in the future. These guys are young, too. So
Yeah, no kidding. The next episode of Looking for a Fight is you guys in Alaska. That one drops on Thursday.
That's a blast.
What made you go up there?
You know, believe it or not, even Anchorage, Alaska has fights, has a fight show. So we went up there, we checked out their show, and yeah, it's such a unique, fun place to go. We had a blast.
Do you get a tip on a fighter, a specific fighter that sort of hooks you into going someplace?
It depends. You know, the last couple of shows we've done, you know, we just saw the fight card.
Right.
And we kind of looked at guys' records and looked at who they fought. This is the first fight this weekend in Minneapolis is the first fight where we're actually interested in a guy. We're looking at a heavyweight up there.
Well, it's a great series. You're not putting out too many of them.
Well, we're doing one a month.
One a month, okay.
Which is a lot, believe me, because 3 days of filming is one episode.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's tough. Like you said, with all the fights we're doing and the schedule, it's believe me, I got enough to do.
It's called Looking for a Fight. Dana White is here. Matt Serra is here. We'll take a break. We'll be right back on K-Rock.
Matt Serra in studio with us now on the Kevin and Bean Show. He is a former UFC welterweight champion along with his president, Dana White. Guys, Matt, by the way, how'd you get into the UFC?
How'd I get into the UFC?
Yeah.
Oh, man. Let me see if I can remember that far back. That was 2001.
I was going to say this was before the Looking for a Fight, but this might have been before YouTube even.
Yeah, this is back in 2001, and I made a name for myself on the grappling circuit, and then that's when they first took over. I think it's the second event that you guys put on, right?
No, back, wow. I think
it might have been the first
one, UFC 30. I think you were in 30.
Mine was 30 or 31.
Yeah.
Yeah, something like that. It was insane.
And you fought all the way into the 80s, right? UFC in the 80s, yeah.
When was my last? No, my last
fight
was
like
100.
Old,
no, 100 and something.
Oh, really?
Yeah, wow. 109 was Frank Trigg, and then I fought Lytle after that. But I lost to Lytle, so we'll bring up Frank Trigg again. So after I knocked that guy unconscious, anytime I can take a dig at that guy, when did I destroy Frank Trigg? That was UFC 109.
Yeah, so, I don't remember. Okay, and that gotcha.
Was,
That's
and
it.
That was, I was 35 and I'm 41 now, so you could do the math. But yeah, it's been quite the trip. Yeah, it's been quite the journey.
It must be interesting for you. I know it is for Dana. We've talked about it before, but it must be amazing for you to see how big the sport has gotten in the years since you started too.
Oh, 110%. No, I would tell Dana, like back when I was fighting, I'm like, let me get in as many as I can before they shut this whole thing down.
Yeah.
And I'll tell my kids, yeah, there used to be this thing. They fight in a cage, and I did it.
When you were the welterweight champion, they probably gave you like $300, right?
Yeah. But that's what it started.
Oh, this dude made some money.
Yeah,
I did all right.
I did okay. But, you can always do better. I did okay. But, you know, so, yeah. Where were we? I had ADD like you wouldn't believe.
Dana, back in the beginning when you bought it, did you think in your mind that it might get shut down at some point?
Oh, yeah. It almost
for
did.
For a while, I mean, right?
Yeah. Not shut down, but my partners were running out of money. They were like, we're not going to keep funding this thing. And then we did the first season of The Ultimate Fighter, and that changed everything. So,
changed everything.
Yeah, it was looking grim there for a while. So
it's amazing to me how many huge stars you have in the UFC now, too. I mean, huge stars. It's not like this isn't a sport where there's one guy that people have heard of. You know what I mean? There's 20 that people follow religiously now.
Yeah, you know, we're getting there, you know. And now the generation that grew up watching Matt Serra fight and, you know, these other guys, you know, this is the martial art that men and women are taking everywhere. You know, when we were growing up, there was karate and, you know, taekwondo and things like that. But now this is the martial art that people are taking all over the world. And like this, you know, this show that we're here promoting, Dana White Looking for a Fight, there's fights everywhere every weekend. We literally have to pick and choose where we want to go.
Matt, I forget where it was, Philadelphia, I think, or one of the fights you were at, somebody came up and started talking smack to you.
Oh, Atlantic City.
Atlantic City.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Does that happen a lot?
No, fighters. That guy actually, because that was, because I'm from Long Island, New York, mm-hmm. so I actually, I knew that guy. I knew that guy, and that guy knew already not to go near me. I didn't like that guy. After I lost the GSP, he had some words to say, and it got back to me. So I just told the guy, look, you see me, just don't talk to me. I don't need to talk to you. We got enough friends, you know. So then the guy sees what's going on.
Well, he comes up to you?
Well, he came. Well, he saw the cameras. I saw him drinking. The guy's a bit of an idiot. So I saw him trying to get his face on camera.
Right.
So when I saw him trying to get, I go, no, I just told him to get away. Yeah. You know, and he was trying to stick around. And so it got, a tiny bit heated. But no, that was it. It was, you know, normally 99.9 of the fans and the people we meet are just awesome.
True. You
know?
Did you guys see the pilot? With the
yes,
with the ring announcer,
yeah, that guy was yes. awesome. That guy was far from awesome. He was the opposite of awesome. That guy,
He's drinking. He's the ring announcer, and he's drinking like a 40, and starts talking smack to Matt. Yeah. It was crazy.
Yeah,
and
once in a while you get.
And
those.
The saddest part about that one, Dean, is you guys are sitting there with Evander Holyfield, who's just the most buttoned up, like yes. quiet, religious guy in the world. Right. Like
super Christian,
super Christian.
F bombs are flying all.
You must
over
have been so embarrassed.
And well, the best is before we did that, the producer really took me and Dana by the ear and goes, "Look, both of us." One mouth's worse than the other, you know? Especially when we're just shooting the stuff, you know? And don't get nervous. You don't have to hit the button here. I'm okay here. Okay. I know when to behave.
All right.
So I was doing so well, you know, until that guy. And then after that, I was in the moment. I looked to my left, and there's Evander Holyfield. I go, oh, gee, that went south. Oh, man. You know? But so I went to the producer, and he's this little guy. He's a funny guy. He's got Rory. And he's like, and I apologized, you know? I go, Rory, man, Then he goes, are you kidding me? That's TV gold. I go, hey, all right, Rory. Good. I'm not in the doghouse.
You were feeling all bad. Sorry about that.
Seriously, it's the pilot and this guy. What are the odds that you would be at an event and the announcer would start doing it? It was crazy.
I love that.
It's pretty unprofessional.
That's my guy right there.
That's crazy.
Question for you, Dana. Did you see Conor McGregor's tweet from earlier this morning? I am happy to announce that I have inducted myself into the UFC Hall of Fame. Details of event to follow.
That doesn't shock me. No, it doesn't shock me. He is he is a one of a kind, man. He is a talent like we've never seen. Not only does this guy, you know, he's got the personality and the persona, but he can fight, man. This guy is actually legit and can fight. Yeah. This is one of those fights. This next fight coming up with Dos Anjos. Dos Anjos is a beast. Destroyed Cowboy Cerrone. Destroyed Anthony Pettis. Destroyed Ben Henderson. And Conor McGregor wants to move up to 55 and take his title. This is a very tough fight for Conor, but Conor is a guy I have learned not to doubt. It's crazy.
How long did it take you to learn that? Because he's been shooting off his mouth for a while, but he backs it every fight. He seems to back it up.
Listen, when you come out and say that you're going to knock out Jose Aldo in under 4 minutes,
right,
and then you come out and do it in 13 seconds, it's hard to doubt the guy.
Did your head explode? I saw a lot of conversation was like, oh, it wasn't worth it. It wasn't worth the cost of the fight. I was like, that 13 seconds was the best 13 seconds I saw all year.
He knocked out the guy who hasn't been beaten 10 years in 13 seconds and said he would do it.
Yes.
I mean, it's just, if that's not worth it, I don't know what's worth it.
I don't know that anyone saw that coming. I know he said it, but you go Aldo.
Then, you know, when Jose Aldo pulled out, everybody was saying he couldn't beat a wrestler. He ends up fighting Chad Mendez, who's one of the best wrestlers in the sport and has knockout power, is a legit, you know, legit fight for the kid, and tries to bet me and Lorenzo $2 million that he'll knock him out in the, I think it was the second round. He did exactly what he said he would do. So
that's got to be crazy in a sport where it's testosterone-filled and braggadocious a lot of times for a guy to just smack talk like that and smack talk, but then walk into the ring and just do it. It must be so insane and fantastic to have.
He's a talent like we've never
seen.
Who's
he fighting next?
He's fighting Dos Anjos.
Dos Anjos.
Yeah.
Okay.
At 155 pounds. He is the reigning 155-pound champion and has beat all the best guys at 155. And Conor is moving up in weight to try to take his belt, too.
Tim writes in on the Kevin Bean Twitter account, I'm not able to call in when Dana is there. Could you please ask him to drop the date for Jones and Cormier and location, please?
Yeah, we don't have I'm thinking around April, but we don't have that set yet.
I don't have
a date to drop yet.
Seeing a lot of stuff from Jones on Instagram and a bunch of different places. I mean, he seems like he's been putting it out there for a long time that he's getting back in shape.
And he's like lifting crazy weights, and he's in sick shape right now. It's going to be fun to see him come back, and I love Cormier, so.
What are you guys seeing, if anything, in your travels around the country for the Looking for a Fight show about girls now getting more and more inspired to get into the UFC?
Yeah, the women's fighting is huge right now, but we really haven't seen any female fights on the road. We really haven't seen any.
I wonder if those are tough at the local level for them to organize and have people want to come out and see.
Well, there's a specific show called Invicta, and it's all women.
Okay.
So there's a show that's all women, and they're probably the biggest promoter of women's fights.
Is that what makes Ronda Rousey so amazing, is that she stood out in she was your biggest star for a long time, and maybe
she
again, of
is.
Course. Yeah,
no,
yeah.
She still is.
Of course.
She just hosted, when you're hosting Saturday Night Live, you're a big star.
Yeah,
she hosted
pretty well.
Saturday Night Live and pulled, like, the second best ratings.
Yeah, you know, since Trump.
They did almost 6 million viewers with Ronda. So, she's the biggest star. She Ronda is that special mix of, badass, intelligence, the looks, the whole deal, the attitude.
She's come in here many times, and we've fallen in love with her, like everybody else. And Holly Holm came in before that fight, and then after that fight, and she's the nicest person in the world.
She
but
really
still
is.
That night, I was, like, disappointed because I really wanted Ronda to win.
Yeah.
Do you feel that way?
People who love Ronda were hurt and wanted to see her win, and people who hate Ronda wanted to see her lose. Ronda has that perfect mix, too.
But there's nothing about Holly that makes me not like her at all.
No, Holly is awesome.
She's great,
She is. And Holly's a woman who's been, working in the game for a long time and finally got the respect that she deserves. So, it may have
ended up best for everybody
I don't think that people were shocked that Ronda lost. I mean, anybody can lose on any. It was the way that she lost.
Yeah.
Right.
Is there anything to be said for traveling all the way to Australia is tough on fighters? Is that something to keep in mind or no? Everybody's got to do it.
There's no doubt about it. I mean, the European fighters who travel to the U.S., the time and your clock and everything is messed up. There's some places in the world, I don't know if you guys have ever, that just, you don't feel right every time you travel there. One of the guys who works for me, Craig Borsari, he does all our production. When we go to England, this guy just can't function.
Really?
He can't function. He can't sleep.
Can't do it.
He can't, and I can't imagine being a fighter and having to travel to some of these different places in the world and having to go out and perform at your best. It's tough. It's tough being a fighter.
Matt,
why are you
used
doing
that
to him, Dana? Come on.
We're global now.
Did you get used to that, Matt, traveling to fight?
Yeah. I didn't have to really go that far when I fought. I fought usually either Vegas or
we weren't. The footprint wasn't there.
It wasn't as big,
when
right?
Matt was fighting. Yeah. Canada probably. Did you ever
fight Montreal. That sucked for a whole other reason, because I was fighting GSP in his hometown.
Yeah.
There was chance of F.U. Sarah and like just deafening, and that was a rough night. But it had nothing to do with
with actually traveling.
Well, the show is called Dana White Looking for a Fight. It's on UFC's YouTube channel or on UFC Fight Pass, and the guys are traveling all over the country, and they're not just looking at fighters; they're also just living the dream the way you'd want to travel on that jet and with that kind of treatment everywhere you go and that much food. I don't know why you guys don't weigh 800 pounds the way you eat on the show.
You're setting me up to get hammered by Dana right now. He has a fat joke every couple of seconds. When you're 5'6", every pound shows.
Every pound shows. But it's really a lot of fun. I mean, you guys, there's just so much great product, Dana, that you and your organization are generating, and this is just the latest in a long line. It's always fun to catch up with you. Matt, it's great to have you in here.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Thanks, guys.
Wish you guys the very best. We'll see you soon.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It's Kevin and Bean Show at 8:53.
We really do give away these grand prizes, these destinations for the K-Rock World Tour 2016. Earlier today, we made a phone call and sent someone to go see Weezer in Amsterdam. I think that was Trisha Grenke, I want to say. Does that sound right?
Trisha Benke.
Benke, who won the trip to Weezer in Amsterdam.
Schmanky.
Now we want to get you qualified to see the band Coldplay in Rio. You will be on the standby boarding list for that grand prize drawing on Monday, and we'll give you tickets to see the band at the Rose Bowl August 20th if you want to call right now as a Coldplay fan at 1-800-520-1067. What are we going to ask these Coldplay fans to do?
This is
going to
be listener-okie, so you got to pick your favorite Coldplay song, and then you got to perform it for us.
Ooh.
Always goes well. 1-800-520-1067 is the phone number. If you want to call, we will play that game right after the top of the hour. Right now, Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat.
It is a Monday, so we look at the top 10 movies at the box office. Kung Fu Panda 3, in its debut, made $41 million. Pretty good numbers. The Revenant was second with $12.4 million. Then Star Wars The Force Awakens at number 3. The Finest Hours, in its debut, made $10.3 million. Not a great opening for that film. Ride Along 2 was fifth. The Boy, that's about that doll that's alive.
Yes, it's alive.
$7.9 million made it number 6. Dirty Grandpa, The Fifth Wave, 50 Shades of Black in its debut made $6.2 million. And 13 Hours, The Secret Soldiers of Benghazi came in at number 10 with $6 million at the box office this weekend. Ratings are coming in for Grease Live last night on Fox, doing very well for itself, approaching Sound of Music numbers on NBC, which was the
is that good?
The bar set for live musicals on television. Yeah, that was the biggest grossing, or rather rated one so far. A lot of people liked the show last night. Some people didn't like the show last night. So one person sent me a tweet. It was very funny. He said, it looked like it was the Lifetime movie of the unauthorized true story of the Grease movie. Which it kind of had that feel, because they wore the same costumes and everything, but it was obviously not them.
Not them, right.
And Vanessa Hudgens, of course, played Rizzo in the show. Heroically, she did that performance last night after her father passed away from stage 4 cancer. She thanked everyone on Twitter who kept him in his in their prayers and said she was doing the show in his honor last night. So
she was fantastic, too, by the way.
She did a great job with that song, There Are Worst Things I Could Do. It's a bad week to be a member of the Jefferson Airplane. Senior Anderson, the original lead singer for that band, has passed away. She passed away Friday, which was the same day that Jefferson Airplane guitarist and singer Paul Kantner passed away. Grace Slick apparently is in hiding. No one can find her. The Grim Reaper is just mowing down the airplane. So.
Somebody try to get that band together in heaven or something.
So that's sad news. But the good news in music is that Zane is back.
Zane.
The Zane in question, of course, is Zayn Malik, as opposed to all the other Zanes you know. He left One Direction because he said he had a solo career that he had to attend to. He had to do the kind of music he couldn't do with that band, and his first solo single debuted on Friday. It's called Pillow Talk. Man, I could see why he had to leave One Direction. This is outside the box right here.
It's a paradise and it's a war zone. It's a paradise and it's a war zone. Pillow talk, my enemy, my ally. Prisoners, then we're free, it's a thin line.
So you're saying that's very different from One Direction.
It's like Tom Waits or something. It's just so unique. Zane also in the news for experiencing some travel difficulties. He was on flight to Madrid, apparently, when there was some mechanical problems, and the plane had to make an emergency landing there in Madrid. And they wouldn't let anyone off the plane. Made him nuts, apparently. Turns out the Zane in Spain stays mainly on the plane.
Oh, my God.
I'm Donald Trump, and I approve this message.
Sure didn't see that coming.
Jeez. Ralph!
Come on, it's Monday. Aren't we having some fun? Let's
well
have some
played,
fun.
Well played, sir.
And Donald Trump's star in the Hollywood Walk of Fame was defaced over the weekend.
What?
Someone spray-painted a swastika on it before it was removed by the folks there at the Hollywood Walk of Fame to be cleaned.
Today, I'm very proud of myself.
Donald is very happy that his star will be subject to ethnic cleansing before he gets put back into the Walk of Fame. People have compared the Donald to, well, you know, Hitler, because of his remarks about Muslims and immigrants and keeping America pure and
wrong.
By the way, funny little side note. The person who sprayed the swastika on the stump, mm-hmm. The stump.
The stump.
Trump.
There's a stump there?
Trump's star, or the stump, as I like to call it.
Sure.
Painted it backwards.
Painted it backwards?
Yeah. It was supposed to go in a particular direction, and it was going in the opposite direction, which was sort of like, I think that's the Native American symbol. And then the Nazi one goes in the other direction. Hmm. So there was an angry but confused man who was painting on Donald Star.
Sit down.
Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Speaking of One Direction, Harry Styles, Zayn's old bandmate, celebrates his 22nd birthday today. I don't know if you heard, but Zayn had some mechanical problems.
I did in a plane.
Flight to Madrid.
Yeah, in Madrid, yeah.
Heather Morris is 29. Ronda Rousey, also 29 years old today. Big Boy from Outkast turns 41. Michael C. Hall, 45 years old.
I really need to kill somebody.
Yeah, I know how you feel, Mike. 45 years old. You know him best from Dexter, but he was recently the star of Lazarus, that David Bowie musical that was being...
Yeah, that's what he's doing right now.
Hmm?
He's a talented dude. Beat says that's what he's doing right now.
Yeah. I thought the run ended already.
Oh, I thought it was still going on. You could be right.
Patrick Wilson's 47 years old today, and actor Pauly Shore celebrates actor. Can we just say
Pauly
Shore?
Is he still on the list?
Let me just take actor off the front okay. of it and just say, The Weeza celebrates his 48th birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show with me.
The California Lottery presents The Proper Way.
Coldplay is having a hell of a 2016, you guys. They're going to be, is the Super Bowl next Sunday?
Super Bowl's next Sunday, yeah.
Super Bowl 50 is next Sunday. Coldplay is going to be your halftime show. They're going to be playing the Rose Bowl on August 20th, and you get a chance to see them in Rio de Janeiro. It's K-Rock's World Tour 2016, destination number 3. We want to qualify for you that right now at 1-800-520-1067 with a game that we like to call Listener Okie.
Listener Okie, Listener Okie, that's the game we're going to play. Listener Okie, Listener Okie.
All right, so one winner is what we're looking for here, right?
Correct, yes.
You win tickets for the Rose Bowl, and you're eligible for the trip to Rio. We are asking you to sing your favorite Coldplay song. Bring it to life. Give us a performance of a song by Coldplay. Give it your best, and we'll see how you do.
All right, let's start with Alexis in Huntington Beach. Hi there.
Hi.
Welcome.
How are you guys?
We are good, thank you.
Alexis,
I'm really nervous.
What a burst of energy, though. That's a great start. What song are you going to be singing by Coldplay for us?
I'm going to sing Magic.
Magic. Magic it is. All right.
Okay.
Here's Alexis.
Ready? And I don't, and I don't, and I don't, and I don't. No, I don't. It's true. I don't. No, I don't. No, I don't. No, I don't. Want anybody else but you. Wanna fall. A fall, so fall.
That is high. That is a high note.
Right. Okay.
That is way up there.
That note is high. Yes.
That is high. All right, Alexis. Well done. You didn't sound nervous at all. Thank you for playing. Hang on.
All right. Let's go to Tracy and Agora. Hi there.
Hi.
What song are you going to sing for us, Tracy?
I'm going to sing Paradise.
Paradise.
Boy, do the girls love the Coldplay, don't they?
Yes, they do.
I mean, they really, really love the Coldplay. All right, let's hear some Paradise. Good luck.
Okay. Oh, here we go. Okay. When she was just a girl, she expected a world, but it flew away from her reach. So she ran away in her sleep, and she dreamed of paradise.
Yeah, yeah. If Chris Martin had a speech impediment, now we know what it was like. All right, thank you, Tracy. Hang on. You are still in the drawing for to become America's Next Top Model.
Nope, not doing America's Next Top Model.
Oh, to win the Coldplay tickets for Rose Bowl, right?
Let's go to Jade in Northwoods. Hi, Jade.
Hi.
What song are you going to sing for us?
I'm going to be singing Sky Full of Stars.
Sky Full of Stars. Here's Jade.
I don't care, go on and tear me apart. I don't care if you do. Ooh, 'cause in a sky full of stars, I think I saw you.
Okay,
Okay. All righty. All right. We didn't see you on Grease Live last night, did we, Jade?
No.
All right. Hang on. So Alexis, so far, she was number one with Magic, and then Tracy did some Paradise. Jade did some Sky Full of Stars. Who's up next?
Next is Ruth in Montebello. Hey, hi. What? Ruth?
What's going on? Yeah, I know. My parents gave me that name.
Your parents named you Ruth?
Yes.
Why?
That's one of a kind.
I'm special.
Okay. All right.
You don't sound angry at all.
No, I think you're pretty well adjusted, Ruth. All right. So all ladies so far, but you're going to sing what for us, a Coldplay song?
We're going to do Yellow. We're going to do it metal style.
You're going to do a metal style of Yellow.
Okay.
All right.
All right. I'm down.
Here's Ruth.
Look at the stars. Look how they shine for you. And everything you do, getting called yellow. Yeah. I came along. I wrote a song for you.
All right, Ruth.
All the things you do.
Okay, Ruth. Thank you.
It was called
all
yellow.
Right. Yes, right. Yes, okay. Ruth. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Ruth.
So that actually just happened.
That happened.
We heard that.
Mm-hmm.
Let's try Nicole Line 5, please, Long Beach. Hey, Nicole.
Hi, guys.
Welcome to Listener Oki.
What'd you think of Ruth?
That was really good. Tough competition.
Yeah. Tough competition indeed. All right. What are you going to do to top it?
All right. I'm going to sing Green Eyes.
Green Eyes. Here's Nicole.
All right. So here I go. Green eyes, you're the one that I wanted to find. Cause anyone who tries to deny you would be out of their mind.
Right. Okay. Now, is it my imagination, guys, or can Nicole actually sing?
She can sing.
Yeah.
Can sing.
I mean,
okay.
She's no Ruth.
No Ruth. But... Right. All right. We really just have time for one more. You want to try Ani?
Yeah, but hang on one second. Your name's Ruth?
What?
Yeah. All right. Hold on.
I believe he covered that. Yeah. His parents gave him that
just
name.
Trying to clarify.
Let's try line 6, Ani and Tarzana.
Ani, hi there.
Yes. Hi.
What song are you going to sing?
My new favorite song ever. It's Adventure of a Lifetime.
Adventure of a Lifetime.
It's a good one.
Here's Ani.
You make me feel like I'm alive again. So alive again. Ooh, 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 ooh. Like I'm alive again.
Okay. We got the gist. I think that's good. Thank you. I'm sure you enjoy it very much when Coldplay sings. All right, guys. Any early front runners here? Who do you like?
Ruth, obviously.
I liked Ani just because she was clapping.
She was clapping.
That was good. I don't know. Yeah. There was a spirit about her that I liked.
I have to tell you, I thought Nicole had a beautiful voice.
Yes, yeah, she
Nicole
did.
Was very good awesome. Singer. As did Alexis with Magic. Our first one was also a very, very good singer. So I don't know, man. That's a tough one. We may just have to do a drawing. I don't know. I can't decide. I loved Ruth's creativity and enthusiasm.
Sure.
I thought Nicole was a better singer. So I'm having trouble deciding who to pick.
I think if we're going with best singer, I'm picking Nicole. But
yeah, absolutely.
Are we doing a drawing or are we
it's
picking?
It's up to you. All right, we've got these three.
Okay, good. Because there's six people in the drawing.
Let's do a drawing.
Well, you
only
said
because...
a drawing of these three names.
Oh,
Ani,
I see. Okay.
Ruth.
Too many good ones to
I
choose
gotcha.
From. Let's just make it random.
Okay.
And the answer is...
The winner is Ani.
Ani!
Ani! Congratulations,
wow.
Ani.
Wow.
I've never won anything in my life. That's awesome.
You just won the tickets to see Coldplay. You're on the standby boarding list. And thank you for calling and playing the game. We appreciate it.
I love you guys.
Thank you. Thanks for playing.
Listen to Roki. Listen to Roki. Thanks for playing our game. Listen to Roki. Listen to Roki. You thought them were lame.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 9:37.
Yeah, my name's Ruth. I'd like to sing a Coldplay song, please.
Yeah. My parents named me that.
Really? Your parents named you? Your name? That's rare.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But Ruth.
Come on. That was unusual. Yeah, you don't meet a lot of Ruths, that's for sure. But it seems like he handled it well.
Sure.
It's not like it got him down.
I've met a lot of ruthless people, but never a Ruth person. He's the opposite of ruthless.
Yeah.
Because he's Ruth Moore, if you will. Because his name's Ruth.
Yep.
I don't think you understand.
Hey,
do you think when he was a babe, They named him Ruth?
How dare you?
Is that
you?
What you're thinking?
Don't even.
Nope. You're guessing he was a little.
Nope.
When he was just a babe?
No, sir.
They said, hey, nope. It's a babe. Nope. Ruth. That just came to them?
How about our final look at the showbiz beat?
Maybe they were having steak at Ruth's Steakhouse.
Monday morning, Kevin and
Bean
Show.
And they said, we need a name for the baby. And they're having their porterhouse. You know, they're enjoying their nice cut of beef. And they go, hey, Ruth's.
Now, Ralph is going to change topics and talk about other things.
Who's with me? Who loves that Allie's back?
I do.
Right?
Yeah.
Thank you, Allie, for coming back. We missed you while you were sick.
Yeah.
And we love you. And we're happy you're back. And
what is happening?
She's
looking at Ralph like he's got an agenda.
To the show an element that we've never had before that I personally enjoy. And I enjoy having you part of the team.
This can't be good,
nope.
Right?
Nope.
However, I don't think anyone enjoys being on the show as much as Allie does.
Okay.
Okay.
And that was brought to my attention by one of our listeners. Brandon DeYoung is his name. Thank you, Brandon, for sending this in. He said, am I the only one to notice how much Allie McKay moans on the show?
How much she moans?
These clips were taken from just 10 podcast episodes and edited together.
Dear.
She must really like her job. So I'd like to play you the audio that Brandon sent in. This is Allie, just a random selection of 10 different podcasts he was listening to, and he just pulled little sound nuggets and just stitched them all together. I present to you Allie McKay.
Oh, the company all over me.
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah. Oh, my God. Oh, dear. Oh. Oh. Now you're talking. Go on.
All right. Let's hear some more.
Oh, the best. What? Yeah.
And that's...
And you what? Yes, exactly.
That's...
Oh, dear God.
Yep.
Oh, just, my God.
It's just a little portion.
It might be the best thing I've ever heard.
A little sampling of how much Allie likes being on, on the show. So.
Wow.
Wow.
I had no idea.
You didn't know that you were enjoying yourself?
Not that much.
You're having a hell of a time.
You really are.
That's all I know.
Thank you, Brandon.
Thank you, Allie.
Right.
Thank you. Bringing all that.
Bing, bing, bing.
Blip, blip. Right?
We need an Allie McKay soundboard. I think is what we need.
Whoa! What is happening? Really?
You're asking us?
That's all you. What are you?
I don't think so.
Speaking of a good time, tonight on a little television network I like to call ABC.
You like to call it that?
I like to call it that. Many people refer to it as the American Broadcasting Company.
No, they call it ABC.
I like to shorten it up. I like to tighten it up. I like to, you know, all the kids today with their initialisms.
Sure.
Initialisms?
Yeah. Tonight on ABC, of course, is The Bachelor. Could not be enjoying the season more than I am. And after The Bachelor, Chris Harrison gathers up a group of crazies and he sits on the couch and they break down The Bachelor episode live on a show called Bachelor Live. And... they were kind enough to invite me to participate this evening, so I will be on the couch next to Chris B. Harrison himself. Michelle Collins, very funny lady, will be joining us. Lacey Chabert, you know, very talented and lovely actress. Ben Higgins himself will be there.
Oh.
So join us after The Bachelor as we talk about all things Bachelor. Don't forget it's raining Ben.
It is raining Ben.
That's
yeah.
true. We are seeing that they have added musical entertainment from American Idol's Lee Bryce on tonight's episode.
Lee
as
Bryce,
well.
Yes, I forgot. I forgot to mention Lee Bryce will also be there. And we'll probably be doing some picking and grinning, Lee
sure.
and I.
Like you do.
Because he's a country artist, and so we'll be
And you love country.
We'll be picking and grinning. I'm going to bring my banjo along just in okay. case.
Please
do. Some picking and grinning. Maybe Foggy Mountain Breakdown. One of our
his big hit is called "I Drive Your Truck."
Right?
Yeah, we know.
Tim, yeah.
Don't you have to tell me?
Yeah.
There. Here's a little sample. What I'll be doing. Lee. Lee. Might put together a little country ditty about the song. That's tonight at 10 p.m. I want to say.
Oh.
It's Monday, so we take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office each and every Monday morning. Kung Fu Panda, as predicted, top of the weekend box office with $41 million. Number one by far. Very entertaining film, by the way. I went to see it this weekend with my little one, and she had a blast, and I really enjoyed it, and everyone had a good time.
So you got kids. I recommend it highly. The Revenant was second at the box office, $12.4 million. Star Wars The Force Awakens was third, The Finest Hours. Finest Hours. Fourth, with a $10 million debut. Ride Along 2 was fifth, The Boy, Dirty Grandpa. See that Dirty Grandpa, Allie?
No.
Oh.
Yeah. She did.
I'd swipe, right?
Yeah, you would. The Fifth Wave was eighth. 50 Shades of Black.
Oh.
The new parody of 50 Shades of Grey from the Wayans.
I'm
going to
go down.
What?
13 Hours, The Secret Soldiers of Benghazi, at number 10 on the list.
I want nothing from you in my throat. Thank you.
All right.
Really?
Ladies, start your engines.
Oh, it's already done.
Bradley Cooper's single again.
Get hard.
Yeah, apparently. Apparently, Bradley has broken things off with supermodel Irina Shayk after 9 months of togetherness.
I've got dibs. Is that how it works?
Yeah, you want dibs on Bradley Cooper?
No,
you got
no.
him. We'll give you a call. We'll give him a call and see if he's available.
Either one, actually.
Yeah, they're both dreamy.
Yeah.
No word on why the two split, but look, I think that it's just too much beauty in one place.
Could be.
The universe doesn't like that. The universe doesn't. You can't. It's, you know, two like particles repel. Bradley needs himself a real fugly girl. You know, this way, opposites attract.
Sure.
Science.
I am going to blow all your
right. Whoa.
What?
Wow.
Do you just have a file bean? You were waiting for this moment?
You have contributed quite a bit to the program. You right.
Have.
Right.
Hashtag Oscars so white.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But hashtag SAG so diverse. As we saw over the weekend at the SAG Awards. Right?
I didn't see the SAG Awards.
You didn't?
No.
SAG Awards are the best.
Are they?
It's all actors.
All right.
It's all actors getting up making speeches. No lighting guys, no special effects, no sound, best effects, sound in a movie under 2 hours in black and white. None of those categories.
It's a weird category.
Congratulations to a gentleman named Idris Elba. Not one, but two SAG Awards.
Wow.
He took home on Saturday night. One for Beasts of No Nation, the second for his role in Luther. Brilliant.
So good in Luther.
On that series. Welcome to Diverse TV, he said in his acceptance speech. Viola Davis won the Best Female Actor in a Drama Series Award for How to Get Away with Murder for the second year in a row. Both transgender-themed TV series, Transparent and The Danish Girl. Well, that's not a TV series, obviously, but they picked up awards. Spotlight won for Best Cast. That's kind of cool that they give an award to the Best Ensemble Cast.
Yeah, I like that.
Mm-hmm. I like that, too. On the TV side, Downton Abbey got it for drama. Orange is the New Black for comedy. The rest of the SAG After Awards included Laverne Cox, Tina Fey, Alicia Vikander. Great awards and great cast, and it really was a nice evening of diversity to take some of the sting out of what was going on with the Oscar stuff. So that's kind of cool.
I did hear the one thing I thought was interesting, Ralph, was Leonardo DiCaprio won his for The Revenant.
Yes.
And apparently, if you win the SAG Award for Best Actor, you almost certainly will win the Academy Award for Best Actor as well. Apparently have a tremendous link-up track record there. So Leo could finally win an Oscar after all the times he's been nominated.
Yeah, it usually goes that way because a lot of, as you can imagine, the SAG voters are also voters in the Academy, so it usually does shake out that way. So, here's hoping. I haven't seen the movie yet, but I heard he's outstanding in it.
Kevin, have you seen that? Have you seen The Revenant?
I have not, no.
It just looks...
Yeah, it looks...
It doesn't look entertaining to me.
It does to
it
me,
looks
but
brutal.
I just haven't had time.
It looks like a brutal 2 hours.
But that's entertaining sometimes.
Is
if
it?
You can get lost in that time period, in that world, with that story, I mean, there's a lot
looks
of brutal movies
though.
That are amazing. Schindler's List isn't a chuckle fest, but it's
no.
a brilliant film, and that couldn't have been more brutal.
No, yeah, maybe. I'm afeard of it.
You don't have to go.
A,
and first
B,
of all, you're not going to go, so there's no real no damage done. Because the odds of you actually going to a movie theater to see it are not high.
I might not make it to that one.
Hmm.
What did you see this weekend? What movie did you go out to the theaters to
see this
weekend?
That's a great question, Ralph.
If you're going to pass on that.
I didn't.
What feature film did you attend in a theater?
I didn't see anything
near you.
Current per se this weekend. I did not.
Oh, this week. Okay. Last weekend, which did you see?
Well, let's move on. Okay. That, my point is, it just looks like an exhausting experience going to see The Revenant. That's all I'm saying. I was just wondering if one of you guys had seen it, but no.
Here's something Bean will see. Melissa McCarthy is going to make her fourth appearance as host of Saturday Night Live on February the 13th. Her musical guest will be Kanye West. His album Waves is supposed to be released 2 days later, 2 days earlier, rather. So we'll wait and see. But he will be performing. I hope somebody has some fingers. Well, I hope some maybe a big foam finger, or I don't know, somebody coming out saying, "Hey, Amber Rose told me to stop by."
Where do you want to put this?
Booty.
What?
Right?
Allie? That's crazy.
Right, Allie?
Right?
Allie talked to herself in that clip. Yeah. Today's celebrity birthdays. Patrick Wilson. Not the actor.
Okay. Not the Fargo guy.
Not the Fargo guy. I got some people sending me tweets and emails saying, it's not Patrick Wilson's birthday. Why do you keep saying that? There's a drummer for Weezer named Patrick Wilson. It's his birthday. 47 years old today. Actor Michael C. Hall is also 45. Big Boy from Outkast is 41 years old. Ronda Rousey from the UFC turns 29, as does actress Heather Morris from Glee. And One Direction's Harry Styles celebrates his 22nd birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Take care off tomorrow morning on all-new Kevin and Bean Show, the Bottle Rock Napa Valley Music Festival. We've got tickets for that. We've got your tickets for Coldplay. We've got the Bachelor Report with Ralph and P. And
I might be too busy actually hanging out with The Bachelor in order to do that tomorrow.
Hanging out with Ben?
I might not come back tomorrow morning. We may be out partying all night long, me and Ben. We might be going around in the Bachelor limo.
It might be raining Ben tonight.
It might be raining Ben tonight. Yeah.
And also Cold War Kids in studio tomorrow morning.